KRXA, your progressive prescription. So join me, voice guy extraordinaire Jim Ward, and producer Chris Lavoie as we take back America every weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m., right here on AM 540.
I mean, tell people why I say this. I mean,
hi, this is Doug Basham reminding you to join me weeknights at 7 here on KRXA. That's Basham Radio weeknights 7 to 10 p.m. right here on AM 540 KRXA.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. This day before Thanksgiving is all about getting there. Let's go to Seattle and elsewhere.
Security lines move pretty well despite a large volume of passengers and fairly new limits on liquids and creams and carry-on bags. A positive attitude seemed to help. This passenger found out she had too much lotion.
Well, I'm throwing away my hand lotion.
2 points if you make the trash can.
Think I can do it, guys?
Yeah, cool.
Orders this year, then the Airbus Consortium for the first time since 2000. On Wall Street, the Dow gained about 5 points to close at about 12,327. The Nasdaq picked up 11 points. And oil prices, $59.24 a barrel, down 93 cents. Thinking about speeding out on the highways? You might want to think again.
This is Jim Crisillo, along I-40 in Colfax, North Carolina. Anywhere you travel on Interstate 40 from California to North Carolina this Thanksgiving holiday, chances are pretty good you'll come across a state trooper in what's considered the largest coordinated effort of its kind ever. Police from the 8 states along the 2,500-mile highway are on patrol watching for unsafe driving. Jim Crisillo, CBS News, along I-40 in Colfax, North Carolina.
A Eugene, Oregon man, 26-year-old Steve Milton, has created what's believed to be the Guinness Record Book rubber band ball. It weighs 4,594 pounds, at least 175,000 rubber bands used to make it. This is CBS News.
Hey folks, John Madden here to tell you about the Ace One Day Sale happening this Friday only, November 24th, at your neighborhood Ace stores. You'll find great gift ideas like a 7-inch portable DVD player with bonus accessory kit for just $69.99. Or get a 5GB RCA MP3 player plus 100 free song downloads for just $99.99. Doors open at 7 a.m., so shop early at the Ace One Day Sale going on this Friday. Quantities limited, available at participating stores.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware for.
Mom needs those new tires from Sears. Mom can't run out for a stick of butter or shop for Dad's cordless drill. Mom needs those new tires. And Mom needs the free gift card that comes with those new tires. Because with it, Mom can get something for everyone, including Mom.
Get a $60 gift card when you buy 4 Michelin or Goodyear tires, Friday 5 a.m. to 11 a.m., only at Sears Auto Center. Plus, all tires on sale Friday and Saturday. Exclusions apply. See store for details. Offer ends 11/24/06.
The only faces happier than the homeless at Superfeast just may be the people feeding them in Houston.
We're expecting anywhere from 17 to 20,000. Of course, we never know until the last person is fed, but each person's welcome, you know, to come and go through the serving lines as many times as they would like. No questions asked.
That's Tammy Bohan. She runs Super Feast for Thanksgiving. It starts at 10 in the morning.
I don't think we left anything out. We've got 8,000 pounds of turkey, 4,000 pounds of dressing, 300 gallons of gravy, 3,000 pounds of cranberry sauce, 3,000 pounds of corn, 3,000 pounds of green beans, over 30,000 slices of Mrs. Baird's bread.
Something new at Hardee's, the fast food restaurant. Something new at Hardee's, the fast food restaurants. The gut-busting monster thick burger is on the heavy end of the peptic scale. Salads are on the other. How about this new salad? Southwest chicken salad, hardly a calorie-chopping choice. It's topped with crispy chicken and onion rings, 1,100 calories, more than most big cheeseburgers. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
The holidays are here, and Guitar Center is your one-stop destination for every musician on your gift list. Save 50, 60, 75% off and more in every department. Guitars, drums, keyboards, recording, live sound, and DJ gear. All at the guaranteed lowest price in the nation. And take advantage of special no-payment, no-interest financing for a full year on purchases of $299 or more. Plus, Guitar Center gift cards make the perfect stocking stuffer. Guitar Center's Give Gear, Make Music Savings event is going on now. Don't miss it.
Mom needs those new tires from Sears. Mom can't run out for a stick of butter or shop for Dad's cordless drill. Mom needs those new tires. And Mom needs the free gift card that comes with those new tires. Because with it, Mom can get something for everyone, including Mom.
Get a $60 gift card when you buy four Michelin or Goodyear tires, Friday 5 a.m. to 11 a.m., only at Sears Auto Center. Plus, all tires on sale Friday and Saturday. Exclusions apply. See store for details. Offer ends 11/24/06.
Welcome to another edition of the Peter B. Collins Show. It's live, unscripted, unrehearsed, and it originates on the left coast. We are imbued with those dangerous San Francisco values. And you've been warned, so change your dial if that might upset you. We've got a lot to talk about and some great people to talk with on the program today. And first and foremost, you are invited to join this conversation. We provide a toll-free number, and I actually pay the bill myself. 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. You can also email me, Peter, at peterbcollins.com. 24/7, I appreciate your input. Coming up later this hour, Reverend Billy will join us with a special invocation. He, of course, is the pastor of the Church of Not Shopping. And Friday is the biggest retail day of the year. And Reverend Billy wants to pray on you, pray at you, and hope that they will not pray on your wallet Friday. Also on today's program, Brian Palmer writes for Mother Jones. He witnessed a training session in the Mojave Desert in Southern California. American troops being trained for the occupation in Iraq. We'll talk about that process and how they identify a Sunni and a Shiite and know who's friend and who's foe. Also on today's program, Larissa Alexandrovna from RawStory.com. She can update us on the use of tasers by the UCLA police against a student. Also, she has a new piece about Jack the Ripper. I know you've been dying to know the true facts of that case. And Larissa's written some poetry, if there's time. We'll talk about that, too, coming up. And in our 5 o'clock free speed zone, lots of room for your phone calls. And I've got some free CDs to give away here on the eve of Thanksgiving. The new CD by Roy Zimmerman, who was on our program last week. And we will reprise that on Thanksgiving Day tomorrow. So we invite you to stay tuned for tomorrow's broadcast, which will not be live because I'll be consuming turkey with my family. And we also will be giving you what we euphemistically call the best of Peter B. Collins on Friday, reruns if you prefer, and we'll be back at you live on Monday in our usual time periods on all of these stations. So that's what we're up to today, and there may be a panic attack. Just wanted to alert you to that. David Bacon joins us in the secret Peter B. Collins studio today, and he did sign an affidavit that he will not disclose the location. Hello, David.
Although I will say that there was a lot of traffic getting here, Peter.
Well, you made it with 2 minutes to spare. How much more do we need?
Not any more than that, for sure.
You and I have had the opportunity to talk on the phone many times in the past, and I'm delighted to meet you in person because I wanted to tell you how important your work is. You are a photojournalist, and you have taken a special interest in the migrant communities, the workers here in California. We refer to them with different terms, undocumented, all the full range of language that is used. Tell me what started this. How did you get interested in the lives and challenges of those who come to work in our fields and in other labor positions in this country?
Well, you know, Peter, I grew up in Oakland, and I didn't know anything about immigration growing up. And I think what happened to me was that I went to work for unions. First of all, I tried to organize a union in a place where I worked and got fired and fortunately, the union stuck up for me and found me another job. And then I got interested in the Farm Workers Union because this was the middle of the 1970s, and that was a really big thing here in California and the Bay Area where I was. And I began kind of picketing Safeway stores without really knowing very much about the workers that I was supporting, and eventually went to work for the union itself out in the fields. And that was a life-changing experience, really. It was just really something, you know, I can't tell you how profound an impact it really had on me. I felt like I was discovering a whole nother world.
And were you picking cops or were you organizing workers?
I was organizing workers. Although when I left the union, I did spend almost a year working out in the fields myself, partly because I was broke and I needed the money, but also because I wanted to be able to understand better what the work was, what it felt like to do that kind of work. From there, I went to work in an electronics plant, and all the people around me who were working around me were also immigrants. In this case, not immigrants from Mexico, but immigrants mostly from the Philippines, actually.
H-1B visa holders.
Well, that was sort of true for people who were engineers. Yeah. The people who I was working with down on the assembly line were more people who were just who had immigrated because they had family members here who had kind of immigrated them, as they say. And the electronics industry in Silicon Valley had a policy of trying to hire from that workforce because I think that they hoped that it was a workforce that would be willing to go along with whatever the company wanted. And
including exposure to toxic chemicals.
That's
a lot of Silicon Valley companies have this really happy public image, but the groundwater in Silicon Valley has been polluted sharply by wafer fab operations, semiconductor operations. The clean rooms are the cleanest places to work, but there's a lot of debris and damage caused by these high-tech companies.
Sure, and the clean rooms are clean in the sense that they filter the dust out of the air so that it doesn't contaminate the chips, but the real exposure that workers suffer from, and I worked in a wafer fab in those kinds of plants, was the chemicals in the air.
Oh, yeah, but workers are disposable.
Well, there you go. And actually, I discovered that, you know, we tried to organize a union in my plant, National Semiconductor, and those Filipino workers were the most interested people in the plant. You know, of our union committee, we must have had maybe 500 members, and I would say more than half of them were Filipino immigrants. So that was another eye-opening experience for me. And from there, I went to work for other unions, Garment Workers Union, Molders Union. These were all unions where immigrants were a big part of the workforce and where you could kind of see the changing demographics of our country and of California in particular as a whole new wave of people coming from other countries became a big part of the workforce here, and how, you know, African American workers, how white workers kind of reacted to it, the kinds of conflicting feelings people had about that, what immigrants were like themselves, and that was sort of how I got interested. So when I began trying to work as a writer and as a photographer after many years as a union organizer, it was sort of natural to start taking pictures of and writing about the same things that I had seen and the people that I had known and talked to, and try to find answers to questions like, why do people come here?
Yeah.
What is going on in their hometowns that makes people want to come to the United States, and what experiences they have? And that's actually what the story of this book is. That's what the story, those are the stories that people keep telling over and over again, is here's what happened to me at home.
Yeah.
Here's why I'm here. Or sometimes there are stories of people who still are at home saying, here's why I don't want to go to the United States. That was an interesting one, too. So
the book he refers to is called Communities Without Borders, Images and Voices from the World of Migration. David Bacon is our guest. And this powerful book, which is chock full of pictures, but also has fascinating text stories of the individuals, their own words, their own comments. How long have you been working on this package?
Well, this book took it took close to 3 years to do the photography and the interviews that go into it, and then it took another year to kind of beat it into shape, so to speak.
Well, a lot of translation and polishing of the text, that certainly is a challenge.
Yeah, there are 52 stories in here, and they're based on interviews that I conducted, but instead of trying, you know, it's really hard to read if you have a text that's sort of question and answer the way people actually, you know, do an interview. So what I tried to do here was sort of take out the question part and put it together as a narrative in which, mm-hmm. you know, you can sort of, it's sort of seamless narrative in which people tell their story. And so that whole process, and then going back to people and checking to make sure that this was, in fact, you know, their experience as they lived it and what they had to say. Mm-hmm. That's what kind of took the year of work.
David Bacon is with us in the studio. And if you'd like to talk with us about your own experiences with migrant workers, migrant communities, and the issues, we're not going to talk specifically about the politics of immigration. But if you want to bring up issues related to that, we won't censor you. But I'd like to invite you to join this conversation. As we continue, David Bacon's going to talk about, in particular, the Oaxacan emigres who've come to the United States, in particular California. And I learned before your book, but only a little bit in advance, about the subgroups, the Triqui, the Mixtecs. And I want to talk a little bit about them and, you know, their roles both in their indigenous communities and how they have basically maintained their communities long distance in, what do we call it, Oaxaca, California?
Oaxaca, California, that's a word. Or we could say Puebla, York, another kind of combination word that talks about immigration that same way.
So if you'd like to talk with me and David Bacon, we'd like to talk with you. 888-5 Peter B is the toll-free number. That's 888-572-8372, right here on the Peter B. Collins Show. I just gave you the wrong number, 888-573-8372, or I can always remember the letters. It's 1-888-5-PETER-B. And I'm Peter B. Collins. You're listening to KRXA 540. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
This week on Rockrolla Real Estate, meet Rodney Ray, CEO of Epic Financial Corporation. Rodney will be talking about the Epic Wealth Builder Plan. This is a department production software program perfect for mortgage brokers, mortgage banking firms, banks, credit unions, and financial planners. For more information, call 408-892-3376. All this and more this week on Rockrolla Real Estate. Sunday morning at 10, right here on KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
It's Behind the Wheel, the Consumer New Car Review. I'm Peter B. Collins. This week, I've been behind the wheel of the 2006 Toyota Prius sedan, the hot-selling hybrid that has everybody talking. The Prius has a gas-electric combo power plant, and the gas portion is a 1.5-liter four-cylinder unit. When the light turns green, you start off with electric power, and the gas transitions in very smoothly as needed to accelerate. I was pleasantly surprised when I punched it to jump from 60 to 80 on the freeway, uphill, and it had all the power I needed. Inside, it's roomy and comfortable for a compact with decent cargo space in the rear, and it's got a generous accessory package. One design flaw to me, the hatchback has limited visibility in the rearview mirror. Toyota fixed this with a nice backup camera. You should definitely test drive a Prius before you buy your next car. By the numbers, the Prius gets 51 mpg on the highway, averages 60 in the city. It stickers in California for about $27,000. Behind the wheel, I'm Peter B. Collins.
The days of wine and roses.
12-step talk, uncensored.
Laugh and run away.
Saturdays, 4 to 5 p.m.
Like a child.
12-step talk, uncensored. It's about time.
Through a meadowland toward a closing door.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 21 minutes past the hour. David Bacon is our guest, photojournalist with a brand new book. The book is called Communities Without Borders, Images and Voices from the World of Migration. David Bacon is with us, and if you'd like to join us, 888-5-PETER-B is the toll-free number, 888-573-8372. So, David, I mentioned before the break that I only learned about a year ago about some of the different subgroups that comprise the campesinos, the migrant workers in California's Central Valley. And I want to credit Hugo Morales. He's a fascinating man who started Radio Bilingüe, which I think is now seven or eight radio stations that go from Salinas all the way down to Bakersfield.
Oh, Peter, you're behind the times. Way more than that. It goes from Alaska to Oaxaca now.
I didn't know that.
Be, I would guess there may be 50 stations in that chain now. It's amazing how extensive it's gotten.
He's a remarkable man, low-key in many respects, but a guy with great vision. And his whole goal is to empower average people. He's not interested in, you know, the equivalent of me, a professional radio person. His idea is that Radio Bilingüe should reflect the real people who comprise these communities. And it's very effective, and I give him a lot of credit. And one of the things that he has done is created programs in the language groups, in the dialects of the Triqui and the Mixteca. Tell us about these groups, where they came from, and how they hold on to their culture in a foreign land called the United States.
Well, Mexico as a country has many, many, many different indigenous groups living there, over 50 different language groups. And Oaxaca probably has more of them than any other state in Mexico, I think almost 20 different language groups. So Mixtec and Triqui are the names of languages, and they're also the names of the people that speak those languages. And these are people whose communities go way back before Columbus. You're talking about pre-Columbian communities, indigenous Indian communities.
So they're tribes? Is that our language? Would we call them tribes?
I guess. I think that, you know, the word that people use for themselves is indigenous groups.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they say. Indigenous meaning that we come from the
so they're organized around geography.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
People come from a set of towns in a certain geographical area in which people live. They speak that language, and they've lived there since way before Columbus came here.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things about migration to the United States has happened in the last 20 years is that migration from Mexico has come from further and further south in Mexico, and it's also increasingly coming from more and more remote areas. And so whereas 20 years ago a lot of people came to the U.S. from cities in states like Michoacán and Guanajuato or Guadalajara, for instance, in Jalisco, today most migration to the United States comes from these small communities way up in the mountains in Oaxaca, Chiapas, and Guerrero.
Mm-hmm.
And the people who are coming here are people who sometimes have grown up speaking not Spanish, but speaking another language, an indigenous language like Mixtec or Triqui. And so when people come here to the United States, and people are coming here because essentially they are being displaced. There's no work in those towns. People made their living as farmers, but partly because of NAFTA, for instance, and the dumping of corn on the U.S. market means that it's not really possible for people to grow corn commercially any longer. Other changes that have taken place inside Mexico itself, where, for instance, they abolished the land reform provision of the Constitution back about 12 years ago in Mexico. So these kinds of changes are sort of forcing people off of the land and forcing mm-hmm. people out of those communities, and people are coming north looking for work. So they come north in Mexico itself, and in the book there's interviews with people who work in northern Mexico in doing farm work, basically, mm-hmm. for growers who grow tomatoes and strawberries and sell them in supermarkets here
and,
in
and do
California.
These indigenous individuals understand NAFTA? Do they see it as at least a contributor to their economic problems? Or is that beyond them, and it's just they respond to the very basic economic realities of their lives?
I think it's both. People are leaving and coming here because they, in many ways, have no alternative. But I think that the level of understanding that people have is a pretty good one. When the Zapatista army began its rebellion against the Mexican government in 1994, they chose the day that NAFTA went into effect as the day to start their rebellion, deliberately as a way of sort of drawing attention to the impact that these trade agreements like NAFTA were having on the displacement of people. So people come through Mexico and eventually cross the border into the United States, and now they're spreading through the U.S. as well, too, so that although originally the main place where people were coming was California here, some people coming to cities like Los Angeles, but other people coming to rural areas and working as farm workers.
Mm-hmm.
Now in Woodburn, Oregon, for instance, in the Pequin Union, which is the union for farm workers in Oregon, you find lots and lots of people who speak Triqui and speak Mixteco.
Mm-hmm.
Some people coming to cities like Los Angeles, but other people coming to rural areas and working as farm workers.
Mm-hmm.
Now in Woodburn, Oregon, for instance, in the Pequin Union, which is the union for farm workers in Oregon, you find lots and lots of people who speak Triqui and speak Mixteco.
Mm-hmm.
You find people from Oaxaca living and working in agricultural areas in Arizona, in Texas, in Florida, and even up into the Midwest.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of dispersal is taking place as people come to the U.S. And, of course, it's not just people from Oaxaca, because the book also talks about indigenous people coming from Guatemala going mm-hmm. to work, for instance, in meatpacking plants in Nebraska.
Yeah.
So this indigenous migration is one of the new facets of migration. And to me, I think it's really, in a lot of ways, a very wonderful thing. If you appreciate the differences and the kinds of culture that people are bringing with them, you know, they have an annual dance festival in Oaxaca called the Guelaguetza.
Think for yourself.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
The holiday season is here again, and what perfect time to take advantage of the great selection and low prices of the finest used cars in the county. At ZNS Auto Dealership in Monterey, they have been partners for over 30 years. Located at 1179 Del Monte Boulevard, ZNS wants to be your partner in choosing that right car for you or your loved one. ZNS has it, whether it's a truck, SUV, minivan, compact, or luxury automobile. Open every day on Del Monte Boulevard, Monterey. ZNS Auto, where partnership works.
Tired of that dreaded drive into town for fresh quality produce?
The Produce Barn in Carmel Valley Village has the perfect solution to your problem. Owners Ed Drobnik and Don Beike have over 50 years of combined experience in the produce business and are passing the substantial savings on to their customers. The Produce Barn offers a wide selection of conventional and certified organic seasonal fresh fruits and vegetables. We also carry a fine selection of specialty candies and snacks, exquisite gourmet gift items, and feature Freedom Meats savory sausages, bacon, and marinated fresh meats. Heck, we even throw in free recipes. So, whether you're a restaurant, lodge, home chef, or treasured village visitor, stop by the Produce Barn at 13750A Center Street in the Center Street Plaza, behind Wells Fargo, and right next to the Chatterbox. We're open 7 days a week.
The Produce Barn in Carmel Valley Village, 659-5916. That's 659-5916. The Produce Barn.
The healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance, Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
The Monterey Bay Chapter of the United Nations Association invites you to the annual Human Rights Day Luncheon, Saturday, December 2nd at noon at the Elks Lodge in Monterey. This event will honor Paul Klein, longtime volunteer leader of the Interfaith Homeless Emergency Lodging Program. And yours truly, Peter B. Collins, will deliver a talk. Are human rights being redefined in a tortured way? The public is invited. Log on to unamontereybay.org for more information or call 831-375-8301.
Concerned about the steady increase in home mortgage interest rates? Don't panic or overreact. Now is the time to analyze the many available options and to choose the best possible course. Leverage the equity in your home to reduce or eliminate high interest and non-deductible debt. Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage, invites you for a free consultation in his Salinas offices at 201 John Street. To schedule your free Creative Mortgage consultation, call Victor at 757-0436 right now. That's 757-0436.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Later this hour, Reverend Billy from the Church of Not Shopping will join us. He wants to urge you to control your urge to spend. That's coming up a little bit later on. We continue now with David Bacon, this powerful new book with photo images and some very vivid narrative. It's called Communities Without Borders, Images and Voices from the World of Migration. And David, I wanted to take a moment here to talk about the word dignity, because that's what really surfaced for me in looking at the powerful photographs in your book. Because there are many Anglos in this country who really don't know the migrant communities. And so they project on them certain ideas, attitudes, criticisms. And because these individuals live often in poverty at standards well below the average American, and because their circumstances have put them to work before many of them could gain an education comparable to what we would get in our public schools here, there are many people who just dismiss this community and say, well, they don't have anything to offer because many of them aren't literate, they don't have any money, so what can they contribute to a materialistic society like ours?
Well, I think that one of the main things that people feel like they contribute is their culture. So everything from the music that they have had, and this is something that doesn't require necessarily a formal education, but people spend years learning their cultures. People spend a great deal of time thinking about what they're eating and how they fix it. You know, a mole sauce is a very, very complex creation, really, and something which people debate all the time about what should go in it and when and how you should eat it and so forth. But also people contribute their labor, and I think that that's also what is part of what gives people dignity, is the feeling that people are doing something very constructive and useful. I think that one of the reasons why people felt so hurt, really, by what I've done is they have worked, mm-hmm. and they've contributed, and they've organized unions, or they have acted as workers, not only in their own self-interest, but trying to figure out what the common ground is between mm-hmm. themselves and other people who are here already. You know, if you ask yourself, what is it that an African-American person, a descendant of slaves coming from Africa, has in common with somebody speaking Mixtec coming, you know, 10 years ago from southern Mexico, I think the first thing that people have in common is that both people here work. Both people are contributing to the development of our country and sometimes doing it in under conditions which are not, you know, poor wages, mm-hmm. not a lot of power, you know, disadvantageous conditions. So people also do things to try and change their conditions. And I think that's another thing that people have in common. People reading this book will read a lot of stories of how people organized for social justice, for instance. There are stories in here of organizations that, there are stories about union drives and meatpacking plants in the Midwest where Mexican and Guatemalan workers found common ground with white people and African American people in organizing unions in meatpacking plants, which, you know, was, you know, again, something that's gone on for years and years. The whole history of that mm-hmm. industry is like that. But people also interpret justice in different ways, so that, for instance, school children and parents want their schools to be good schools. They want their children to be educated. They want them to be able to succeed in life. So people, I think, understand that in the United States, you need to know English in order to be able to do that. But people don't necessarily want to have to give up everything of their culture in order to fit in, too, because they feel like they have something that belongs to them that would kind of make life better for other people, too. And actually, when you think about what our culture is in this country, it is kind of a mixture of the different cultures that people have brought with them mm-hmm. you know, over many years.
Yeah, David Bacon with us, and David joins us from Eureka. Hello, Dave. You're on the air.
Hey. Always such a very interesting guest, Peter. I had known virtually nothing of these diverse tribal groups of Mexico. The question for you, David, is do most all of them, in addition to speaking their native language, speak Spanish?
That's a really good question, and the answer is not everybody. There are people who are coming here to work, for instance, as farm workers, who never learned Spanish growing up in the town that they lived in Mexico, and so they come here speaking their native language and then sometimes learn Spanish and English at the same time. And today, for instance, here in California, we have organizations like California Rural Legal Assistance, which is a sort of a legal aid organization to help farm workers, that has people who specialize in trying to help people understand what their rights are as workers in the language that they spoke at home, because there are, you know, monolingual people here. Also, there's a there's a question about people's children, too. So people come here sometimes speaking one language, the language of their town of origin, and so they have to learn languages here. But also their children who are born here sometimes grow up speaking English first and then Spanish and then the language of their parents' home mm-hmm. village later. And you can imagine kind of what sorts of discussions might go on in a family about, for instance, what language people should speak at home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, kids grow up learning English and speaking English at school, but when they come home, they need to speak to their grandparents, and so they need to speak to their grandparents in the language that their grandparents speak.
Yeah.
So, you know, sometimes I was fascinated doing the interviews for this book, asking people questions about, you know, well, what language do you speak at home? And, of course, you get a lot of variety of answers. Well, we speak Spanish at home. We would like it if our kids knew Mixtec and knew Triqui, but it's very hard to get them to speak it. So I had a lot of parents, for instance, tell me that their kids, well, they understand, but they don't speak.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, for people who have a lot of pride in their culture, it's really, I think, they see you speak at home. And, of course, you get a lot of variety of answers. Well, we speak Spanish at home. We would like it if our kids knew Mixtec and knew Triqui, but it's very hard to get them to speak it. So I had a lot of parents, for instance, tell me that their kids, well, they understand, but they don't speak.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, for people who have a lot of pride in their culture, it's really, I think, they see the possible loss of their culture.
Yeah.
You know, their children growing up without really understanding it as well, without being able to practice it in the same way, and feel a sense of loss about it and want to be able to hold on and want to try and figure out ways to get their kids to understand what's going on in their hometowns and what kind of culture they brought with them.
Yeah. Dave, good question. Anything else?
Well, I think you're doing a really good thing, Dave. I think helping to make people more aware of this cultural diversity will make us a little bit more, you know, I think, understanding, tolerant people. Thank you for what you're doing.
Well, thank you, Dave. David. Good to hear from you. Now, David Bacon, I'm just picking this as one example because I'm a consumer of...
And find a gift that's a real gift for our loved ones. Find a gift that's already inside our house that we purchased maybe years ago. Find a gift at an independent shop that we walk to on our street in our neighborhood. Let's start intimate economies. Help us to discover.
Reverend Billy,
how to
thank
find
you.
The right
thank
gift.
You. For whatever legal advice you need, go to Lawyers on Duty. Whether it's for your estate planning, divorce, custody, probate, or a living trust, Lawyers on Duty has experienced attorneys with realistic fees. There's no need to go anywhere else. At Lawyers on Duty, they're available, knowledgeable, and affordable. Located in the courtyard behind Rosine's on Alvarado Street, Monterey. Lawyers on Duty open every weekday 9 to 5. Call Lawyers on Duty 375-5100. 375-5100. Alan Kaplan, owner. Politicians may come and go, but for the past 33 years, Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey. Technically proficient, Dr. Turner specializes in listening to every patient's concerns and feelings. And because Dr. Turner cares about you, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112, 831-375-1112, 815 Cass Street in downtown Monterey. For all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner, 375-1112. He listens, he cares.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Over the river and through the traffic.
About a 30-mile delay. So that's what you're up against on the New Jersey Turnpike now.
Vice President Cheney will go to Saudi Arabia.
The visit provides a chance for the U.S. to ask for more Saudi assistance in bringing stability to Iraq.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney.
Get your motor running. Head out on the highway.
But be prepared to share the highway and be prepared for delays.
The big wreck is 405 at El Segundo Boulevard. If you're coming up from Orange County or from Long Beach, take the North 605 or the North 710 to the West 105 to get toward LAX.
From Atlantic to Pacific, gee, the traffic is terrific. Tens of millions of Americans have somewhere to go for Thanksgiving, and it seems like everybody's going at once. A nasty East Coast storm is complicating matters. At one point, the New Jersey Turnpike had a 30-mile backup, and flying is no picnic. Planes are packed and there are long lines at the security checkpoints. Heather Bosch of Station KIRO has the story in Seattle.
This is Jim Crisillo along Interstate 40.
For many, it's the first time they've traveled under those new carry-on bag restrictions. No more than 3 ounces of liquids or gels, or as this TSA worker puts it,
if you can pump it, pour it, squeeze it, spread it, smear it.
Oh, I travel often.
Some took a final look.
I forgot if I had anything with me.
There seem to be plenty of workers helping people check or toss what they couldn't carry on. Heather Bosch for CBS News near Seattle.
Amtrak is an alternative that seems to be working.
This is John Harchie in Washington. 125,000 people are traveling by train this day before Thanksgiving.
This is traditionally our busiest travel day of the year.
Amtrak spokesman Cliff Black says that's about 80% more than a typical Wednesday. The rail line is meeting demand with more trains.
Today, a total of 14 extra trains. And over the...
For Dad's cordless drill, Mom needs those new tires. And Mom needs the free gift card that comes with those new tires. Because with it, Mom can get something for everyone. Including Mom.
Get a $60 gift card when you buy 4 Michelin or Goodyear tires. Friday, 5 a.m. to 11 a.m. Only at Sears Auto Center. Plus all tires on sale first.
And Mom needs the free gift card that comes with those new tires. Because with it, Mom can get something for everyone. Including Mom.
Get a $60 gift card when you buy 4 Michelin or Goodyear tires. Friday, 5 a.m. to 11 a.m. Only at Sears Auto Center. Plus all tires on sale Friday and Saturday. Exclusions apply. See store for details. Offer ends 11/24/06.
As the Bush administration decides what to do in Iraq, it's stepping up diplomacy. President Bush meets with Iraqi Prime Minister Maliki in Jordan next week, and it was announced today that Vice President Dick Cheney will fly to Saudi Arabia on Friday.
I'm Mark Noller at the White House. Cheney's office would only say his talks with King Abdullah would focus on developments in the Middle East. That is certain to include Iraq, the stalled Israeli-Palestinian peace process, and the assassination in Lebanon this week of another government minister known to object to Syrian interference there. The U.S. regards King Abdullah as a friend with considerable influence in the Arab world.
The sectarian violence in Iraq continues at a fever pitch. More than 100 people were murdered or found dead today. The U.N. says more than 3,700 Iraqis were killed last month. CBS News correspondent Wyatt Andrews confirmed today that the president's daughter Barbara had her purse snatched at a restaurant in Buenos Aires, Argentina, even though Secret Service agents were right there.
Should the Secret Service have chased the guy? Absolutely not, says former agent Chuck Vance.
Problems around because you never know if it's a diversion.
Vance says the greater danger was a possible kidnapping, and so the agent's job was to ignore the thief.
Their response is to the protectee and to be with the protectee, not to give chase.
With that said, if you were director of the Secret Service, would this detail be in trouble?
I don't know if they'd be in trouble, but I wouldn't be very happy to hear it. It looks bad. It sounds bad.
The Secret Service has had no comment on this incident and isn't expected to make any public statement. Barbara and her twin sister Jenna were in Argentina on vacation. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Buying a used car can be a roller coaster ride. Are you getting the car you think you're getting, or just being taken for a ride? Listen closely. Honda certified used cars. They're well-maintained late model Hondas. Each undergoes a 150-point inspection, then backed by one of the best warranties in the business. Plus, now you can get APR financing as low as 2.9% on all certified used Honda Odyssey and Pilot models. Honda certified used cars. They're the next best thing to new.
See dealer for financing and limited warranty details.
Mom needs those new tires from Sears. Mom can't run out for a stick of butter or shop for Dad's cordless drill. Mom needs those new tires. And Mom needs the free gift card that comes with those new tires. Because with it, Mom can get something for everyone, including Mom.
Get a $60 gift card when you buy four Michelin or Goodyear tires, Friday 5 a.m. to 11 a.m., only at Sears Auto Center. Plus, all tires on sale Friday and Saturday. Exclusions apply. See store for details. Offer ends 11/24/06.
And the Peter B. Collins Show continues. We originate in San Francisco, and this program is produced by Matt Renner. Coming up later this hour, our weekly visit with Larissa Alexandrovna. She's managing editor at rawstory.com. We're going to talk about the UCLA campus cops who used a taser on a guy in the library. And it wasn't because he hadn't paid his book fines. We're also going to talk about Larissa's latest investigation into the truth about Jack the Ripper. And if there's time, we'll talk about some of her poetry, too. Next hour in the Free Speech Zone, we throw it open for your phone calls. And I've got some free CDs to give away from Roy Zimmerman, just to add to your CD collection. And there's a possibility of a panic attack. We got a cryptic email from Tommy Panic, and he said he might have a report for us before the end of the show today. If you'd like to join our conversation, you're welcome to do so. I checked, and the First Amendment is still in full effect. Our toll-free number is 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. Brian Palmer is a filmmaker and journalist who penned a piece in the current issue of Mother Jones Magazine, and he joins us this afternoon. Hello, Brian.
Hi, Peter. It's great to be here.
Nice to talk with you, sir. There are two key elements in your story, and I want to cover both of them. In the next segment, we'll talk about the issues related to Iraqi casualties and whether we've come up with some sort of an accurate estimate. But your article called Lost in Translation starts by describing a training scene at 29 Palms, the Marine base in Southern California in the Mojave Desert, where an Iraqi-American who uses the nickname Haji Khalid puts American troops through the paces. And I'm interested in this because I have great empathy for our troops on the ground in Iraq in the middle of a civil war, and I know we're not supposed to call it a civil war, but I believe it is. And it's hard for Americans to know who a friend is, who a foe is, and, you know, how to react in a given circumstance. So talk a little bit about this training camp and what kind of routines the GIs go through.
Well, Peter, you hit the nail on the head. I mean, separating friend from foe has been a problem in Iraq since this war began and since the occupation began. And frankly, it's not getting any better, which is why the Marine Corps instituted this program. It's called Mojave Viper. And essentially, there are two elements to this roughly month-long training package in the desert. The first part of it is what you'd call sort of the old-fashioned stuff, the combined arms, helicopters and tanks, the big assault stuff, really the sort of Soviet-era sort of thing you'd be thinking about. But the second part is that urban warfare training that these Marines are beginning to apply or who have, they've had to apply in Iraq. And the previous training package really was sort of a less than well-developed affair. You'd have Marines as role players in makeshift villages in West Virginia and various places, and the newbie Marines, the freshly minted Marines who are on the way to Iraq would, you know, interact with them. The idea behind this part of Mojave Viper is to get these expatriate Iraqis to really challenge these kids. And from what I saw, they are challenged, and some of the episodes, would I, or had I not known what goes on in the streets of Iraq, they would have been comical. I mean, in one particular episode, you had a very talented young man, a very smart 22-year-old kid, who's already done one tour in Iraq, going into the home of Haji Khalid, and Khalid basically kind of bossed the kid around, and because the young man didn't have a grasp of Arabic, because he's really a warrior, that's how Marines are trained. They're trained, as they say, to kill people and blow things up. The softer side of things, this sort of hearts and minds thing, is very, very difficult for them to master.
Mm-hmm.
And in some of the episodes, I saw these kids pulling out their laminated Arabic language cheat sheets and showing them to the role players, the Iraqi role players, so that they could communicate with them. And in a battle zone, you simply can't do that, Peter.
Well, the language barrier is just one of the issues that our troops face in trying to deal with very difficult situations on the ground in Iraq.
Exactly. And that's only one of the issues. I mean, I addressed the training piece. I admire the commanders, the people, particularly at Headquarters Marine Corps, for instituting this training, because frankly, Peter, it will save lives. But it's a day late and a dollar short. I mean, the unit that I trained with for just a few days in June, they're already in the Kuwaiti desert ready to go back to Iraq. These guys have, I mean, part of their training is not to sit in a classroom and to learn Arabic.
Mm-hmm.
They are an expeditionary force, and they have to be just as prepared to go to deal with a hurricane in Indonesia as to fight a war in Iraq. So that's a structural problem in the military. But on the ground, they can't talk to people. They don't have enough translators. When I was in Iraq, and I've been three times with the same battalion, the shortage of translators was a terrible problem. The inability for the guys to understand all that much about the culture was also a huge problem.
Well, and Brian Palmer, just yesterday we had a GI on the program, Clifton Hicks, and he described how after his first tour he decided he could not go back to Iraq. And part of it was he did a little personal inventory, and he was so filled with hatred of the average Iraqi that he felt he really couldn't operate in a proper way. So describe how the attitudes of our troops can affect their work and their ability to interact successfully with Iraqis, because there's a lot of baggage that they carry, big chips on the proverbial shoulder.
Thank you for that question, Peter, because I don't think I've been asked that question. As I said, I've traveled to Iraq with the same combat unit, with the same infantry unit, Battalion Landing Team 1-2. I was there for over a month in 2004, about the same length of time of 2005, and also in 2006. 1,200 men, no women, in this particular unit. And there's a wide range of individuals. I've spent time with real gung-ho folks with not a lot of home training who don't conduct themselves with the most
sensitivity, but I've also spent plenty of time with staff sergeants and corporals who are really caring and thinking individuals. But think about this. You've got a 6'2" caring and thinking individual, but who's holding an M4 assault rifle, who doesn't speak Arabic, who has a flak jacket on and a helmet, and trailed by, and who's stomping across your living room in muddy boots, asking you in English where the weapons are. Even if this is a good-hearted young person, and in many cases it is, there's some tension there, and there's that just lack of being able to communicate, and the fact that a lot of Iraqi homes have experienced this kind of intrusion several times. Now, I did, as I said, meet some people who were less than sensitive, and the problem with that is those are the people that Iraqis often remember.
Mm-hmm. And I don't judge these individuals. I have great compassion for the situation they're in. Their lives are on the line. They haven't been properly trained. They don't understand the language or the culture. They can't read cues that would be, you know, meaningful to Iraqis in terms of, you know, nonverbal communication and the rituals or just practices that people observe when you come into their home. So it is so foreign, and to be carrying a gun, to be under that kind of pressure, often to be programmed to shoot first and ask questions later, it's a very difficult assignment to take on.
And it is often a no-win situation. I presented some of the video that I shot to a group of college students last night, and one of the young ladies in the class asked me, you know, who are the victims? Are the Marines the victims? Is it the Iraqis? I mean, and what I said to her is that, I mean, I don't think we have the language for it. This is a tragic improvisation. Every single day is a tragic improvisation. You've got these 18, 19-year-old kids from Paducah and from Paramus, New Jersey, and various places who are forced to, in the situation, they're put in the situation where they have to enforce a policy that is amorphous. I mean, we can't talk about staying the course because there never was a course. So they're basically making things up on the ground, and the Iraqis are always at the sharp end of that improvisation.
Yeah. We're going to take a break and return with Brian Palmer, filmmaker, journalist, been to Iraq 3 times. He's described some of the training for GIs to help them cope with the complicated situation on the ground. And we're going to shift a little bit as we continue and talk about his thoughts about the Lancet report of the Johns Hopkins estimates of the number of Iraqi civilians who have died during this occupation. If you have a question or comment, bring it on now at 888-5-PETER-B. That's toll free, 888-573-SHOW. KRXA 540. Progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Monta Vista Wine and Spirits in Monterey is family-owned for more than 40 years. That's why when you walk in, you're treated so well. They know what they're doing. Excellent service and great product. They have the best in high-end liquor and an excellent selection of the finest wines. It's the real deal. At Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, you can call ahead and your order will be waiting for you. They treat you like family. Open every day 9 to 9 at 19 Soledad Drive in Monta Vista Village. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits ask you to please drink responsibly.
Hey, good looking. What you got cooking? How's about cooking something up with me?
I'll tell you what I got cooking. Dinner's ready. I went to dinnersready.com, chose 8 gourmet dinners, made an appointment, and went to their storefront in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove and prepared the meals there myself. Now I'm cooking them in my own home.
What's that you say? Dinner's ready?
That's right. Dinner's ready. It's the newest concept in home cooking. They do all the shopping and chopping, and I get all the credit. If you're too busy to go in and make your dinners, they'll even do it for you. So sign up at dinnersready.com, stop by and see them in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove, or give them a call at 645-9100. That's 645-9100. Dinner's ready.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service, full service.
Join me, Deborah Lindsay, each Sunday afternoon at 2 for Tomorrow Matters. We'll be matching the global problems of today with the local solutions for a better tomorrow. I'll bring in the guests, and you call with the questions and ideas, and collectively we'll set the standards for a more sustainable future, because for all of us, tomorrow matters. Join me right here on KRXA 540 AM for Tomorrow Matters each Sunday at 2.
And here is your KRXA traffic. San Ardo, southbound 101 after Alvarado Road, an accident. A solo vehicle went off the roadway. CHP is on the scene there. Soquel, Capitol Avenue at Soquel Drive, minor injury accident. A vehicle and a skateboarder are involved. And there's some road work construction in Santa Cruz. Northbound Highway 1, the M-Line Avenue off-ramp is closed for Bowl League. Go where no one has gone before. Join NBC 11 Scott Budham for a journey into high-tech's new frontier.
John, go big, go long, or go home.
Those who start wars, never fight them.
Hey, Monty, I'll take door number 3.
Those who fight wars, they never like them. Those who write laws, they can't recite them. And those of us who just fight laws, we live and die them. But I know they're never gonna tell you why, no. They only wanna tell you lies, no. Never ever gonna tell you why, no. They only wanna tell you lies, no. Never ever gonna tell you why, no. They only wanna tell you lies, it's time. It's time to go home, to take our boys away, no. To take our girls away, no. To take our boys.
Michael Franti and Spearhead, that's called Time to Go Home. I'm Peter B. Collins, and we're talking with journalist and filmmaker Brian Palmer. I tried out the phrase videographer, and he prefers filmmaker. And Brian, I know you've been in the edit suite for a while. Is it timely to talk about what you're working on, or should I pass?
Absolutely timely. Thank you for asking. What I'm really trying to do is sort of marry the two main tracks of my experience. One is this sort of self-discovery. I mean, this is the first time that I'd actually been in combat, and trying to sort of sort out all of the motivations that led me to go and all the really epiphanies I had along the way. And then there's the fundamental experience, what I saw on the streets, what the Marines went through, what Iraqis tried to say to me, and I could only get translated when I came back here. So that's what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm. And will that be available for our consumption at some point?
January. Yes.
In January. Okay. Well, will you email me when it's time?
I certainly will.
I'll be happy to review it, have you on the program, talk about it, and we'll promote it to our listeners.
Super.
The second piece of the article, Lost in Translation, that's in the November-December Mother Jones, deals with the controversy over the number of Iraqis killed. And, of course, many of us in the progressive side of things believe that, first of all, it's just inhumane to have operated without taking account of the carnage that we have created. And as one of the lessons of Vietnam, the U.S. military said, well, if we don't count the bodies, there won't be a body count.
Tommy Frank said that, yeah, we don't do body counts. Let me start, because I am not a pundit. I'm not a politician. I'm a reporter. And I am very, very careful about this sort of stuff, Peter, because it's been so politicized. And everything I say, I base on what I witnessed on three trips to Iraq and my many trips to memorials of people that I've known, Marines I've known. So this is where I come from. Now, having said that, I read the Lancet study. I read the footnotes. What the basic facts of it, I think, correlate with my experience. Now, the methodology, I think, is credible and defensible in that they did a randomized study. They sent teams out into the field, Peter, teams that went out into the various towns of Iraq that were picked on a random, you know, sort of in a random scientific fashion.
Mm-hmm.
And they collected their data. And in, I think it was about 90% of the cases, people actually presented them with death certificates. The only other, the only other source of information that's been cited routinely in the press is Iraq body count. Now, Iraq body count currently lists the number of civilians killed during the hostilities at between 40 some odd thousand and 52 some odd thousand. The Lancet, the Johns Hopkins study as reported in the Lancet says, well, actually, 655,000 Iraqis have most likely been killed in this conflict. Now, they say, hold on, there's a margin of error.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
In most studies, there are. Well, that margin of error, the low end puts the number of deaths at around 340,000, and the high end at about 940,000. So think about that. A country with 25 million people losing anywhere between 300 some odd million and close to a million. I mean, that is egregious, unconscionable, and the fact, yes, as you say, the fact that we're not talking about that, and the fact that no one considered that when they actually launched this war, I think is pretty problematic.
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of people think that this is kind of a game of gotcha, that we're trying to tag the Bush administration with a huge number as a way of embarrassing this effort. And I don't think that's necessary, because it's embarrassing enough to begin with, and we all deserve the truth. The Iraqi people deserve to know what the true cost of their quote-unquote liberation has been.
Well, and Peter, if you have people talking about redeployment, exit strategies, new strategy under our new Secretary of Defense designee, you can't talk future unless you deal with the past and the present. And this is part of the present, and it's part of the past. The fact that many hundreds of thousands of people, okay, let's say tens of thousands of Iraqi people have been killed. Let's also admit that several thousand Americans have been killed and hundreds of people from our so-called coalition of the willing, which, by the way, is evaporating as we speak.
Mm-hmm.
This is, and, you know, the gotcha thing I think is pernicious, and I think it does a disservice to the men and women on the ground in America,
yeah.
of the men and women of America on the ground in Iraq. And I remember, I'll just give you one anecdote. After coming out of Iraq from my third tour with Battalion Landing Team 1-2, I was watching two pundits on TV debate Iraq strategy, and I almost exploded because I thought, here are these two men blithely talking about, you know, whether we should stay or, you know, how hard we should push the Iraqis. They were debating essentially people's lives without dealing with the facts, and that to me is criminal.
Well, and I'll just add to that that running up to our midterm elections, Henry Kissinger knew that this was not winnable but kept silent. Bush knew that he was going to fire Rumsfeld but didn't tell us. Bush knew that, October was shaping up as the most bloody month in Iraq since we've been there. And they all pulled their punches for political reasons. And that cynical decision is something that I'm going to remember for a long time.
Well, and I think that's when the ball lands in our court. I think that is where we need to be concerned. And I think the first reaction to that were the recent, or was the recent elections. I'm not sure about proper grammar there, but that was a strong vote against the way that things are going on. And
Brian, I got to stop us there because the clock won't permit anymore.
Super duper.
Brian Palmer, Lost in Translation. Read it in the new issue of Mother Jones Magazine. We'll talk to you in January.
Thanks for having me, Peter.
Thank you, Brian. Coming up next, Larissa Alexandrovna on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery. A Russian pastry chef turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey.
The Supreme Court agreed with Commander Swift that a president may not apply military justice in violation of the Geneva Conventions. It meant that Salim Hamdan, a driver for Osama bin Laden, who'd been captured and held without charges, had rights. Swift successfully argued that the president was trying to assume the power of a king.
Our founding fathers understood that our officers would never bear their absolute allegiance to a president or to a Congress. They would bear their allegiance to the document that created the country.
He won, but he was also passed over twice for promotion, meaning he'll have to retire next spring. But regrets?
Not at all. You know, when I graduated from the Naval Academy, what I wanted was that I being there would make a difference in history. I didn't care whether that was as an ensign or as an admiral. I wanted that opportunity. And Hamdan provided that opportunity, and I am wholly satisfied with my career.
Lieutenant Commander Charlie Swift.
Now you can dial a diamond and save half by calling Empire Diamond at 1-800-SAVE-HALF. Over 70 years in the Empire State Building, they'll sell diamonds wholesale without a middleman's markup. That's right, GIA-graded diamonds at half the price of famous high-end jewelers. Qualified buyers may have diamonds sent to their home or office for a free 10-day no-obligation inspection and get a 60-day money-back guarantee. So save half on your diamonds. Visit at dialadiamond.com or call 1-800-SAVE-HALF. That's 1-800-SAVE. H-A-L-F.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. We know that our children learn by playing, and the caring staff at Thinker Toys will help you choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. Stop by our beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos and the just renovated Thinker Toys at Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
The Monterey Bay chapter of the United Nations Association invites you to the annual Human Rights Day luncheon, Saturday, December 2nd at noon at the Elks Lodge in Monterey. This event will honor Paul Klein, longtime volunteer leader of the Interfaith Homeless Emergency Lodging Program. And yours truly, Peter B. Collins, will deliver a talk. Are human rights being redefined in a tortured way? The public is invited.
We do it.
Minutes past the hour. It's the Peter B. Collins Show on the day before Thanksgiving. Tomorrow, you'll hear what we call the best of Peter B. Collins. You listen and be the judge. It's reruns of recent broadcasts, including our fun hour with Roy Zimmerman and our what's becoming a tradition on Thanksgiving during the final hour of the PBC show tomorrow. I'll talk to you about three recent things that you have published. One about the taser incident at UCLA, then your historical forensic anthropological study of Jack the Ripper. And you tipped us off to some poetry that you've recently published. So we'll see if we can fit all that in. First up,
it was a busy week.
Yeah. Well, and it just shows the many facets of Larissa.
Well, if you say so.
And I'm also, if there's time, I'd like to ask you for your reaction on the latest related to Iran from our good friend at the New York Tree that you've recently published. So we'll see if we can fit all that in. First up,
it was a busy week.
Yeah. Well, and it just shows the many facets of Larissa.
Well, if you say so.
And I'm also, if there's time, I'd like to ask you for your reaction on the latest related to Iran from our good friend at the New Yorker, Cy Hirsch. But, you know, we're into holiday mode, so we may not get to that.
Oh, all right. No. Let's start with that.
You want to start there?
I'm sorry?
I'll indulge you. Let's start there. Okay, what was your reaction to Seymour Hirsch's latest?
I think it pretty much jives with what I've been reporting, and it adds a new whole element with another group of actors that we're using as proxies in Iran, the PJAC.
Right.
I would say it confirms my own reports, but also, you know, it really makes me even more nervous because I was what was created in the Pentagon to look for intelligence that would support the policy, fix the facts, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And given the fact that the CIA, not so much, you know, what I found interesting is everyone is talking about what the CIA leaked, and what I found fascinating was that they leaked this to begin with. That shows that they're very concerned that intelligence is again being politicized.
And what you're referring to is a CIA report which basically says that Iran is not on the verge of developing a nuclear weapon, and that while the threat exists, it's well down the road.
Right,
and
it's not
we've heard
immediate nor even the, you know, near future kind of threat, right?
Right, and Cheney is very stoutly repudiating that.
Right, and again looking for intelligence that will fit into the policy mold. And I think the fact that somebody leaked this information is the answer to our very, you know, to our worries, in that it's saying that there's enough pressure being put on the analysts at the CIA that they feel they have to let the public know that this is not the case. So, my take on it is that it supports basically what I know adds to, you know, things such as the use of PJAC, and also, you know, makes it all that much more scary because the CIA is leaking, saying, look, there's nothing there.
Mm-hmm. PJAC, if you haven't heard about this or haven't read the article, it is available at truthout.org and other websites if you don't subscribe to the cartoons in the New Yorker. But this is another one of these mercenary groups that we have tied in with,
right,
that essentially is acting as an advance team in Iran. And this is similar to the MO we used in Afghanistan with the warlords.
And the Contras. I mean, I just call all of these various groups the Contra groups.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I had reported a while back that we were using the Mujahideen al-Kak, MEK, as an assassination squad in the region, and, you know, in March, they took out 22 officials in Iran, various governors and kind of lower level officials. We were also aware that they were using PKK, and now you've got a whole other group that's focused on the Kurdistan region. So, we're already doing warlike things. I'm not sure if declaring war is, you know, it really just appears at this point to be a formality, given that our involvement is so entrenched and it's been going on since 2004. So.
Well, and at the same time, and while I don't wish to confuse people, it is a complex situation. We see the Iraq study group, the Baker team,
right,
reaching out to Iran and Syria, and we presume that part of their proposal for the policy shift will be that we engage them in meaningful diplomacy.
Sure,
and then
sure.
We have
but let's
the,
remember,
the,
meaningful diplomacy about weapons they don't have, and our side of the discussion is regime change.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure how much negotiation can be done on those two areas.
Well, but what I wanted to point out, Larissa, is that Bush has a very hardline posture wanting to confront and isolate Iran, yet, you know, his dad's advisors are going to tell him you need to swallow hard and talk to these people. And at the same time, Ahmadinejad has launched his own diplomatic initiative with this weekend's conference with Iraq and Syria.
Right.
And I think this, this compounds the posture of the White House and makes it more difficult for Cheney to have his way.
Well, I would agree with you that it makes things a little bit more difficult for that whole gang. It's not just Cheney. It's a whole slew of people surrounding him. And I agree it would be more difficult. But at the same time, you know, the president that is President Bush is talking about isolating Iran based on information he's being provided that they have WMD. They don't have WMD, so how do you negotiate this? On our end, we know, those of us who, or rather the side of the administration that knows there are no WMDs, is part of the problem of creating the image that there is WMDs, and their only focus is regime change. So even if the advice is let's negotiate, and I understand there's the third issue of fighters from Iran heading into Iraq and making things worse, but the reality is that the foreign fighters are a very small number.
Right.
The majority of the people are homegrown, you know, citizens, if you will, of Iraq. So it's really, what is there to negotiate, you know? You come to the table saying, we want regime change. Everybody leave. Do you agree? And, you know, stop your production of, you know, stop enriching uranium. It's a complex issue, but I somehow believe that it's not so much complex for the people who are really pushing a hawk policy on this. They have, you know, an agenda, and their agenda has always been Iran. Iraq was just the stepping stone. So they can't, I can't imagine they've come this close to their goal and they would just walk away. Nor am I hearing anything that would suggest that. And that's what makes me nervous, because now you're talking about almost like a renegade kind of U.S. government within a U.S. government.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how the Democrats respond. You referred to the Contras earlier, and we had the Boland Amendment, which the Reagan administration simply drove right over.
Right.
And it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to see if this Congress comes up with a mechanism to restrict adventurism toward Iran, either through budget moves or a very specific.
And remember, we've already been told not to use the MEK, so members of this, or representatives of this administration simply had them resign MEK. They all, you know, swore allegiance to democracy, walked away from the, you know, their title, and took on a new name, and there you go, we're not really using them. So it's, I'm not sure how much, without really dealing with the problem, and the problem being that, frankly, we need to address this out-of-control vice presidency. And without really curtailing the powers there and, you know, addressing the real issue, it doesn't matter, I don't, at least I don't think, how many, you know, members of the cast around the issue we change, whether it's Rumsfeld or whatnot, or how many various legal restrictions we put in. On the military, we, you know, we have to take into account a vice presidency that's incredibly strong, too strong.
Indeed. We're going to take a break with Larissa Alexandrovna continuing with us, and we're going to shift gears, talk about the UCLA taser incident and her recent investigation into the Jack the Ripper case. How's that for a mélange of information? We'll continue. If you want to talk with us, 888-5-PETER-B is the toll-free number. That's 888-573-8372. And I'm still Peter B. Collins. You're listening to KRXA 540.
Don't your children deserve the very best for the holidays? Locally owned and operated for 36 years, Thinker Toys has been the first holiday shopping stop for generations of parents in Carmel and Monterey, where owner Mark Phillips and his staff take great pride in personally serving every customer. Thinker Toys is dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly. While Thinker Toys specializes in educational toys for newborns through six-year-olds, there's no better place than Thinker Toys to buy great toys for thinking kids of all ages. Make your child's Christmas, Hanukkah, Christmaka, Kwanzaa, or the holiday of your choice extra special with high-quality educational toys and games from Thinker Toys. Open every day at 10 a.m. in Carmel at 7th and San Carlos and in Monterey at the Del Monte Center. Drop by Thinker Toys today and tell Mark that Peter B. sent you. Happy Holidays from Thinker Toys.
This week on Rock Roller Real Estate, meet Rodney Ray, CEO of Epic Financial Corporation. Rodney will be talking about the Epic Wealth Builder Plan. This is a department production software program perfect for mortgage brokers, mortgage banking firms, banks, credit unions, and financial planners. For more information, call 408-892-3376. All this and more this week on Rock Roller Real Estate. Sunday morning at 10, right here on KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
Listen to broadcast journalist Glenn Brooks as he is joined by health crusader Lisa LaRose and Western Feng Shui master Ann Christie for One Wisdom, a program designed to bring you conversations that invoke your creativity, playfulness, and well-being. Saturday from 9 to 10 a.m. here on KRXA 540 a.m.
And hope you're going home in the Monterey Bay area is doing well on this Thanksgiving Eve and you're not in one of these accidents, such as the one San Ardo, southbound U.S. 101 before Alvarado Boulevard. That accident is on the right-hand shoulder. It's a bus and a car involved. Watsonville, there's a two-car accident. San Miguel Canyon Road at Hall Road, it's on the right-hand shoulder. Two cars involved. Three-car accident south of Gilroy, northbound 101 at 25. Lanes are blocked there. CHP is en route. Also, we have some slowdown southbound 101 leaving Silicon Valley heavy from 85 to Coyote Gulf Creek Drive and also continues heavy through Gilroy, Prunedale, and into Salinas. Northbound and southbound 101 heavy in and out of Salinas. Northbound 101 also slows at San Miguel Canyon turnoff. High tech meets high fashion, a new search engine that will change the way you shop. That's tonight on NBC 11 News at 11. I'm Michael Kidd with traffic.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show.
I took a correspondence class in wiretapping and assassination. I learned the lingo and the proper etiquette for covert operation. I got my degree in top secrecy, 'cause I'm gonna be a spy for the CIDIATFBI. Be quiet, CIA and FBI, etc. They've reformed their former ways and got themselves a brand new raison d'etre. And all the intelligence personnel will work as one well-oiled machine. The CIDIATFBI is on the scene.
That's music to watch spooks by.
I've never heard that before.
Well, that's from a brand new CD, Larissa, by Roy Zimmerman. And his claim to fame was he was a member of the 90s band called The Four Men. And now he has a CD out called Faulty Intelligence. And we've been having a lot of fun with it. In fact, I got some free copies to give away in the Free Speech Zone next hour.
That is really funny.
He's a very clever songwriter with a lot of different voices and styles. And would you like one?
Yes, I would.
Well, you're a winner.
Thank thanks.
You're caller one.
I'm caller one. Okay. Excellent.
We're talking with Larissa Alexandrovna, managing editor of RawStory.com, and her work also appears at the Huffington Post, if you want to go check it out. And you wrote a story this week about an incident at the University of California in Los Angeles, UCLA, where the campus cops went wild with a taser.
Oh, yeah. Actually, this was last week that I wrote about it, but it was, you know, it was basically only covered by alternative media and Keith Overman. I mean, I can't believe this wasn't everywhere. But this poor guy, you know, apparently was working on his paper. He was targeted at random, and his ID is requested, and he felt that he was being targeted. And so he said, you know, have you asked the white guys over there for their ID? When you do, then come back and ask for mine. And they told him to leave, and he said no. So they went and got he was being asked this by, I'm not sure, some sort of, I think the campus police, I think it was.
Right.
They went and got the other police, I guess the city police, and conditioned. And remember, at this point now, he's actually even handcuffed. So they're tasering someone who's on the floor, handcuffed. So he starts screaming, and the other students, including the one with the camera phone, run to see what's going on. And he starts saying, you know, this is what your Patriot Act looks like. Because they're holding him in this weird, you know, they're holding him by the backs of his arms, you know, and he's rocking back and forth, and he had just been tasered.
Mm-hmm.
So he screams, "This is what your Patriot Act looks like." So they taser him again, and at this point, he's completely, I'm not sure if it's unconscious, but he's certainly completely neutralized. He can't talk. He can't move. He's just hanging there.
Mm-hmm.
And the other students begin to say, you know, can we have your badge to the police? And,
mm-hmm.
you know, please stop this. This is excessive. And the officer turns to this one of the students, says, if you don't, you know, be quiet, I'm going to taser you. And then because he's just laying, you know, he's immobile, and they ask him to, well, they scream at him to get up over and over and over, but he can't, because at this point they've tasered him twice.
Mm-hmm.
So they taser him again two more times. And so there's a lot of ruckus. You see, like, people screaming in horror because, you know, it is so offensive what they're doing.
Yeah.
Now, at no point do I remember him screaming obscenities. And I've watched this thing already enough times to never want to see it again. But the only thing I remember him screaming was at the very beginning, right after he was tasered, saying, I was just leaving,
mm-hmm.
You know, and this is your Patriot Act in action, or something to that effect.
Okay, I'll listen to it again, but I thought I did hear, and the voices are hard to identify because there's screaming going on. And it could have been the cops who were using the obscenities.
It's possible. I mean, there's also a lot of students. I mean, there's a whole slew of students. But remember, he stops after he starts screaming about the Patriot Act,
mm-hmm.
after he's been tasered. They then continue tasering him, and at that point, he's just limp until they taser him again because he's completely immobilized.
Now, I think I saw a follow-up story today that the cop in question here has a history.
Right. I saw that, too. He has a history, actually, of two prior instances of being charged with excessive force.
Mm-hmm.
That is correct.
Yeah.
And there was also a huge protest in between that information and the original event, in which the entire campus protested and wore signs that said, I'm a student, don't taser me.
Mm-hmm.
It was very
And this has opened up Matt Renner, our producer, who graduated from UC Berkeley last year, described an incident where campus cops were really rough on him and seemed to, there were 1,000 people on the football field, but they went after him. And so, you know, in general, I have a sense that campus cops are often out of control and unaccountable.
Sure, sure. And they're drunk on authority, and tasers are certainly not making things better. Because, look, the guy was not doing anything bizarre. He was not acting in any way inappropriate. He was targeted. There is no question from the eyewitnesses. He was targeted because of his ethnicity, and he was tasered when he was already handcuffed and on the floor. So I don't understand why the use of tasers was even necessary once, let alone four times.
Larissa, I got to run. Have a great Thanksgiving. I want to direct people to Huffington Post, read the story about Jack the Ripper, and to HeyYokaMagazine.com, where you can...
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. We all look forward to being home for the holiday, but nobody needs the hassle of getting there.
Liquids, gels, aerosols, 3.4 ounces or larger need to be placed in a plastic bag prior to entering the checkpoint. Anything larger than that, unless it's medication, baby formula, baby food, juices for the children needs to be tossed.
Long lines at the airport security checkpoints on one of the busiest travel days of the year. Most planes are taking off stuffed like turkeys. Passengers have had to allow extra time, and there are flight delays, but CBS News correspondent Bob Orr found nothing serious so far.
A short time ago, we went out to Reagan National Airport outside of Washington to see how the planes were doing there. And they're getting in and out pretty quickly. The delay is only about 15 minutes, but there is heavy rain there. There are some winds as well. A tricky day for the pilots, for the passengers, and for the controllers.
I'm Pete Combs at Hartsfield-Jackson Airport in Atlanta, where things seem rather tranquil on this busy travel day. That may be because screeners like this one are working double shifts, shouting themselves hoarse, giving passengers lined up at the security checkpoint tips on speeding up the process. Business travelers call this amateur hour.
They just slow the process down. I mean, it's like they've been living in a hole about the liquids and what they can carry on, what they can't carry on.
Getting to the airport can be a problem. KNX Radio's Todd Leitz reports California's busy 405 freeway was closed by a truck crash in Hawthorne.
When you get a backup like this, it's as far as the eye can see from where I am. And it's right near Los Angeles International Airport, which means a lot of folks trying to get to the airport are on this getaway day are having a lot of trouble.
The New Jersey Turnpike at one point this afternoon was backed up for 30 miles. Police are trying to make sure this mad rush doesn't become insane and deadly.
This is Jim Crisillo along Interstate 40 in Colfax, North Carolina. It's dubbed I-40 Care Across America. State police from California to North Carolina have troopers posted every 10 miles of Interstate 40 this Thanksgiving holiday. Police from the 8 states along the 2,500 miles of I-40 are cracking down on unsafe driving, hoping to reduce fatalities and serious injuries during one of the busiest travel periods of the year.
Vice President Dick Cheney will be traveling on the day after Thanksgiving. He'll fly to Saudi Arabia for talks with King Abdullah. Cheney's office says they'll discuss issues of mutual interest. Topic A, likely to be Iraq. O.J. Simpson says he did it for the money. Talking to WTPS Radio in Miami today, Simpson said he had to join the Jackals, cashing in on the murders of his ex-wife Nicole and Ron Goldman.
Every blood book that was written by every lawyer and every family member and everybody close to that trial is hypothetical. Hypothetical, and it's blood money. I said it in that Fox interview before everybody complained this week.
Fox canceled plans to air that interview, and Simpson's book, If I Did It, was recalled before it hit the shelves. The Dow up 5 points to close at 12,326. The NASDAQ gained 11 points. This is CBS News.
Want something to crow about? How about over 250 early bird specials at Kohl's after Thanksgiving sale this Friday from 5 a.m. to 1 p.m.? Get 50% off all Fisher-Price, Barbie, Play School, Tonka, and Crayola toys. And a 7-inch portable DVD player for just $49.99 after mail-in rebate. Plus, get $10 Kohl's holiday cash for every $50 in purchases. See store for details. Don't miss Kohl's after Thanksgiving sale starting at 5 a.m. Friday. Kohl's. Expect great things.
Mom needs those new tires from Sears. Mom can't run out for a stick of butter or shop for Dad's cordless drill. Mom needs those new tires. And Mom needs the free gift card that comes with those new tires. Because with it, Mom can get something for everyone, including Mom.
Get a $60 gift card when you buy four Michelin or Goodyear tires. Friday, 5 a.m. to 11 a.m. Only at Sears Auto Center. Plus, all tires on sale Friday and Saturday. Exclusions apply. See store for details. Offer ends 11/24/06.
While most of us are easing into holiday mode, WTOP Radio's Darcy Marchese reports the Agriculture Department's turkey hotline is in high gear.
You're welcome. And what state are you calling from?
Calls are coming in from all across the country to an office room in Beltsville, Maryland. They're taking around 1,000 calls a day.
It is incredible sometimes, yeah.
Archie Magola says now is crunch time.
They're panicking a little bit now, and they want to make that perfect bird.
And despite the hectic pace, the call takers are calm and polite.
We take as much time as the person needs.
Diane Van, the manager of the turkey hotline, says the most common questions, thawing and cook times.
Well, good luck with your turkey. Happy Thanksgiving.
Darcy Marchese for CBS News, Washington.
The Logan Banner, a West Virginia newspaper, asked kids about Thanksgiving dinner. One girl thought the turkey came from Burger King, but a boy said his mom spends about 20 hours in the kitchen preparing the feast. Sounds about right. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Well, we're here with CompUSA technology expert Meg Pixel.
Hi there, Bob.
I'm going to get an early start on holiday shopping this year, Meg.
Oh, that's great. When?
December 26th.
Get a real head start. Head to CompUSA. They're having a huge holiday sale late Thanksgiving night and early Friday morning.
I was going to go trick-or-treating then.
CompUSA is open Thanksgiving 9 p.m. to midnight and Friday 5 a.m. to noon. Huge savings on HD TVs, computers, cameras.
Oh, that's great. I'll head over to CompUSA 9 o'clock Thanksgiving night and then come back at 5 a.m. Friday morning.
Anything to get away from those relatives.
Oh, yeah.
Mom needs those new tires from Sears. Mom can't run out for a stick of butter or shop for Dad's cordless drill. Mom needs those new tires. And Mom needs the free gift card that comes with those new tires. Because with it, Mom can get something for everyone, including Mom.
Get a $60 gift card when you buy four Michelin or Goodyear tires. Friday, 5 a.m. to 11 a.m. Only at Sears Auto Center. Plus, all tires on sale Friday and Saturday. Exclusions apply. See store for details. Offer ends 11/24/06.
And the Peter B. Collins Show continues. We're heading into the free speech zone where your calls and comments are welcome. The rules, as usual, you can talk about any subject from any viewpoint from anywhere within the sound of my voice. And I'll add to the mix, if you'd like to say thank you to someone for something good that's happened over the past year, I'd like to hear it. 888-5-PETER-B is our toll-free number, 888-573-8372. The switchboard's wide open. Get on the line now, and we'll talk with you soon.
When I was a younger man, people say don't dream too tall. If you live life that way, you set yourself up for big falls. I stay up late in my room at night, say my heroes on that turntable. Open me for pure fact. Now my soul breaks down that wall. I thank you, I thank you for all that music that you've shown me. I thank you, you set me free.
And I'm grateful for a lot of things, personal and not so personal. My mom's in town, and I'm looking forward to spending time with her over the Thanksgiving holiday weekend. And my brother and his wife and three kids came in from Chicago, so we're going to be bonding over turkey. But in a more public sense, I'd like to express gratitude to one fine American, and, you know, I've obviously many others could be included. But a guy named Ned Lamont changed the political climate in this country by challenging Joe Lieberman. Lamont dug into his personal fortune, and it turns out his wife actually has more bucks than he does. And together they invested $16 million in trying to unseat Joe Lieberman, the Democrat in name only, who's now an independent from Connecticut. And while Lamont did not win, we did. Because Ned Lamont helped define politics in America this year. And I think that led in turn to the victories for John Tester in Montana, Jim Webb in Virginia. And so when I think about where we are today, and people who took risks and put themselves on the line to help us get here, well, Ned Lamont comes to mind. So if you have somebody like that that you'd like to thank, or maybe it's more personal, a teacher, a companion, a son or daughter, feel free to share it with us this hour. 888-5-PETER-B is our toll-free number. That's 888-573-8372. And just for fun, I'm going to pick two or three people this hour to receive a free copy of Roy Zimmerman's Faulty Intelligence CD. It's got a lot of great tunes on it with political satire themes and that sort of thing. And I'm just going to pick people at random. So call us up, and when you get on the air, you'll find out if you're random or sufficiently random. Again, my number is 888-573-8372. Ruth and George from Carlotta, thanks for your email, and happy Thanksgiving to you, too. Richard in Santa Cruz joins us first this hour. Hello, Richard. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, Peter B., and I couldn't agree with you more about Ned Lamont.
Yeah, he's a great American, and when the dust settles and we have a chance, I'd like to catch up with him and have him on the program so I can thank him personally.
I would like to do that, too, sometime.
Yeah.
And I'm calling because of a sort of an idea I had, because I spent a lot of time consulting in public classrooms, and one of the most typical things I see is the morning ritualistic Pledge of Allegiance. And it made me think for a long time, what can we do here that's more than just sort of an indoctrination or an indoctrinaire activity? And it struck me, maybe we should ask kids to study the Constitution in the morning during that time, and from a very early age on to study small select parts and to keep adding to that as they advance from K through 12.
Mm-hmm.
By the time they do come out of 12th grade, they have a very solid foundation in the details of our constitutional institutions, and that way perhaps be better prepared as citizens.
Well, Richard, I think this is a great idea, because with or without the phrase under God, I've never liked the Pledge of Allegiance. I think it's a kind of loyalty oath. It's an empty gesture on the part of almost everyone who performs the ritual. And to pledge allegiance to a flag? I mean, the flag does not mean that much to me, and I don't wish to insult people who value the flag more than I do. But the Constitution is what I revere. The Constitution is what I'm willing to pledge allegiance to, with or without under God, in the loyalty oath. And so I think you're onto something here.
Yeah, it wouldn't take much, you know, just to say, okay, the Pledge of Allegiance is no longer in vogue. We're going to study the Constitution. I can't see any of the right-wing fascist neocons objecting to that, other than just, you know, you should be blindly loyal to what we say.
Well, they'll fight it for political and irrational reasons.
Right.
And you know, because it'll become a little football, and they say, oh, Richard in Santa Cruz is a dangerous guy with San Francisco values, and he wants to stop pledging allegiance. And, of course,
right,
they'll never talk about your proposal of, you know, how you want to substitute studying the Constitution and recite, you know, what it would be like to recite one of the amendments each day.
Right. You know, and then by the time that they've gone through a few years of this and done it cumulatively and they'll have more meaning to them, and they'll understand what it's all about.
So, Richard, have you proposed this to anybody besides me?
This is the first proposal on air. I have talked to some of my friends about it. They seem to think that it's rational and reasonable and appropriate, and so now I need to take it further.
Well, let me suggest your assembly member, John Laird, as a place to start, because that's something that could be done on the state level as an addition to our curriculum.
Mm-hmm.
And also Sam Farr, your member of Congress, I think would be receptive to this idea.
I think so, too.
Well, I encourage you to move it forward and keep us posted.
And I'll do that.
Okay, great.
Thank you very much.
Call. Now to Nancy in Phoenix. You're next here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Hi, Nancy.
Hi. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to talk about our candidates, especially mine in the 3rd Congressional District, Herb Payne.
Uh-huh.
And he ran a good race. He was, he held his cool, you know, throughout the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
We had people out doorbelling. The goal was 10,000 people. But, of course, we have, you know, like 60,000 or 80,000 in our district. But it's the first time that we've been able to really get people out on the ground going door to door.
Yeah.
And Herb generated a lot of excitement, and I hope that he'll run again. And Jim Larson also did, too, for the state Senate. But Herb Payne has great ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And I really believe that his ideas are right in line with those, with, you know, with the revolution. And I have heard that 80,000 Republicans have changed their party affiliation to independent. In the state of Arizona.
That's
exciting.
And I'm
hoping that that's true.
Well,
if it is, it's amazing. It shows that people are paying attention and that Air America is, people are listening to Air America because that's the only other place here in Arizona that anybody would get any other information than what's being handed out.
Well, it's nice to hear about Herb Payne, and I would add to that there were other great challengers, many of whom didn't win, and two of my talk radio colleagues were running for Congress in the Detroit area, Nancy Skinner and Tony Truppiano. And they both ran great campaigns, came very close, you know, within 10,000 votes, I think, in each of those cases. And I hope that each of those individuals will come back 2 years from now and run again, because one of the real victories that is so sweet is Jerry McNerney defeating 7-term Congressman Richard Pombo. Nobody expected McNerney to pull it off, and he was unsuccessful in 2004, but undeterred. And he came back. He ran a very good race in the primary. Nancy Pelosi and the Democratic leadership didn't think he was going to go the distance, and they put somebody up against him in the primary whom he defeated. And then he went on to defeat Pombo. And so I give a lot of credit to people like Jerry McNerney, who take on a task that others define as impossible and prove those naysayers wrong.
You bet. And that Pombo race was a huge one for the environment.
You bet it was. And you know what's interesting? You cited the number of people who left the Republican Party in Arizona. In this very Republican district that Pombo used to represent, in 2004, he got 90,000 votes. In 2006, he got 45,000 votes. Now, that's a lot of people who said, I can't do this again. And maybe they didn't re-register as independents, but at least in November of 2006, they said, I can't support this corrupt Republican congressman. So that is progress, and I hope we see more of it in the near future. Thanks for your call, Nancy.
Thank you.
Nice to talk with you. Lines open for you. Tell me who you're grateful to for things that occurred this year, personal or public. 888-5-PETER-B is our toll-free number. That's 888-573-8372. And I've got a free Roy Zimmerman CD for somebody who calls in the next segment. 888-573-8372. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Pam and Nancy from the Potting Shed in Aptos on the Christmas season.
We have the tree. We have refreshments. It's turned out to be a really big season for us.
Someone was in the other day who was telling their companion who had been there for the first time that, oh, and they also do Christmas, and you should see it with all the lights. It's just beautiful. So.
It's one of the prettiest times of the year.
Yeah. Christmas is fun. I mean, we start the kickoff with the, for the season, the first weekend in November with an open house, and we have homemade refreshments. In December, we have a live green wreath workshop where people can come and make their own green wreaths.
Call us at 685-1626, and we keep lists of anyone who's interested in the classes and schedule them accordingly. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard in Aptos.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1 heading towards Watsonville. You have to look for us. We're in an old barn. If you look for our mailbox, it's painted bright yellow and it's shaped like an old barn, so it makes it a little bit easier to find. The Potting Shed.
Gifts for gardeners and everyone. We're hard to find, but it's worth it.
Hans Auto Repair in Seaside is hands down the finest Volvo maintenance and repair shop in Monterey County. Owners Mike Brooks and Tracy Palacco are both factory trained in Volvo service and repair. They provide outstanding quality and great service at reasonable prices. They only work on Volvos, so you know that your Volvo will be in caring and skilled hands. Hans Auto Repair is at 384 Olympia Avenue in Seaside, or you can call Mike and Tracy at 583-9820. That's 583-9820.
This is Frank Don. On Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. here on KRXA 540 a.m., join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour, a live call-in program to discuss astrology, the astrology of the world, and your own personal astrology. Let me answer your questions, and let me teach you how astrology can help you make better life choices. Here on KRXA 540 a.m. from 7 to 8 every Sunday evening, join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour.
Well, it's Thanksgiving Eve going home time in the Monterey Bay Area. First, we have an accident to report in Watsonville, San Miguel Canyon Road at Tarfley Road. There's two vehicles involved. Construction work, Santa Cruz, northbound Highway 1. The M-Line Avenue off-ramp is closed through December. Salinas, Sanborn Road between Abbott Street and Highway 101 is closed due to round-the-clock road work. Now, we have lots of slowdowns, southbound 17 from 85 to the Lexington Reservoir. Then again, mostly on the from the summit into Santa Cruz on 1. Northbound 101 and southbound 1 between Ocean Street and Santa Cruz and 41st in Capitola is slow as well. Southbound 1 highway slows between Monterey and Carmel, and eastbound 25 slows out of Gilroy into Hollister. The mini meal deals are back at McDonald's. Fill up with a double cheeseburger or McChicken sandwich. Small fries, small drink, just $2.49. McDonald's mini meal deals. I'm Michael Kidd.
The Peter B. Collins Show. Do you have a conservative girlfriend?
She's a real type A, and she's overinsured. Her favorite castaway is Thurston Howell III. She doesn't like big government, so it's no surprise I can be her lover long as I downsize. My conservative girlfriend got a tiny little heart full of passion. My conservative girlfriend, every Friday we go liberal bashing. She got the Supreme Court tattooed on her bum, beside an autograph port.
Hertzfeld.
And from the day I checked her out from front to back, I knew her private sector could take up the slack. My conservative girlfriend got a tiny little heart full of passion. My conservative girlfriend, every weekend we go wilderness trashing.
That's Roy Zimmerman. The new CD is called Faulty Intelligence. I got a couple of free copies to give away, so get on the line and you could be one of our lucky winners. 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. Of course, you can talk about any subject in the news, or if you'd just like to express some gratitude to somebody, personal or public, let us know about it. 888-573-8372. Marianne, Pacific Grove, you're next.
Good evening, sir. Happy Thanksgiving.
Well, same to you, and thanks for your call.
Okay. Since I live in Sam Far country, I'm, of course, grateful for that. But I would like to express gratitude for the 9 people, including me, I know, who went out poll watching on election night, and some of them were commuting all over the place. I just had a double poll. In the first place, 70% were absentee, which was great.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a meeting the night after to compare notes. And the consensus was anybody can get to those machines. In my particular case, it was in a school library. Those things had sat for 2 days before before the election.
Yeah.
And they the poll of whatever he is, commissioner, lieutenant, nice guy, very
mm-hmm.
nice guy. But he let me watch the complete teardown and how it works, because I could honestly play dumb and say that I have never voted with these things because I always vote absentee. And he said, now this is what does this and this is what does that, which means he showed me how to set them up if I wanted to.
Right.
And it's only a process of 3 different items to set it up, program it the way you want, and get out of there, and you only need a backpack full of stuff to do it.
Right. Yeah, a little flash memory device, the kind that you can hang on a keychain.
Yeah.
That has the corruptible data, the what they call, ugly software, virulent software, that you could install in one of the machines, and then it actually could migrate to the others via the tabulation system.
Now, that is interesting.
Yep.
This fellow, of course, didn't mention that to me. I have heard that you can hack with something like a cell phone. I'm not really sure about that.
Yeah, more like a PDA, a BlackBerry or a Trio,
yeah,
could be used, because you could use the wireless connection and the Internet aspect of it to add software that might not be detectable to a particular machine.
Yeah, anyway. Well, 9 of us compared notes, and 9 of us got pretty much the same story, as those machines were left sitting out. And it was just amazing to me. After all the heat that's been going on, you would mm-hmm. think that they wouldn't have done that. But
well, you know, those machines are like a fine wine, Marianne, and you got to open them up and let them breathe a little bit. You got to get them up to room temperature.
Oh, God, I forgot. I won't charge for corkage.
Hey, have a great Thanksgiving. Thanks for your call.
Bless your heart. Bye-bye. 888-5-PETER-B.
Give us a call wherever you happen to be listening. That's toll-free, 888-573-8372. And David joins us from Denver. Hi, David.
Hey, Peter. How you doing?
Doing great. Thanks for your call.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Are you ready for a big Thanksgiving?
Yeah, let me tell you what I'm thankful for before I forget it.
All right.
I'm thankful for that gentleman that called earlier with the idea of the kids studying the Constitution.
Richard in Santa Cruz.
What a great idea. And for you to give him 2 really good contacts,
mm-hmm.
I hope he'll follow up on them, because that's a great idea. I don't know if you're going to get the Pledge of Allegiance replaced, but maybe alternate.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, and you know, there are all these people who want to insert prayer in public schools. I'm opposed to that. But if you wanted to have a moment of silence where you could think about video games, the Constitution, or mumble the Pledge of Allegiance to yourself, or even say a prayer if that's your preference, I wouldn't be opposed to that.
No, I wouldn't either. But the idea of all of us, I wish I knew the Constitution better. You know,
mm-hmm.
I couldn't recite Bill of Rights.
Yeah.
Which I could, I should, but I know freedom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's what I'm going for is freedom.
Yeah.
And gosh, we could go a lot of places, but I'm surprised you're alive tonight. So.
Oh, we're live today. We're going to be cooking turkey tomorrow, and Friday we'll be recovering.
Well, have a good Thanksgiving.
From the oyster dressing. Hey, David, can we send you a copy of the Roy Zimmerman CD?
You know what? Your answer already did, and I appreciate it, because when first time I heard Chicken Hawk, man, I was going, who is that guy, and where can I get that song?
All right. Well, it's on its way to you.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks for listening in Denver. I appreciate the call. 888-5 Peter B. is our toll-free number. We'll take more of your calls after a quick break here. And the Center for American Progress apparently read my mind, because at the Progress Report today, they list 21 reasons to give thanks. How many can I fit in before the break? We're thankful for our country's troops. We're thankful America dumped the 109th Congress. We're thankful Rick Santorum will have more free time to find the WMD. We're thankful we don't have to go to war with the Secretary of Defense we had. We're thankful for red state values like protecting reproductive rights, supporting stem cell research, and rejecting discrimination. We're thankful for Senator James Inhofe of Oklahoma, who calls climate change the greatest hoax ever perpetrated on the American people, because he'll no longer chair the Senate Environmental Committee. That's all I got time for. Maybe more as we continue on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
This is Laura Pruneta of Pruneta Real Estate Advisors. As your licensed real estate broker, our mission at Pruneta Real Estate Advisors is excellence and contribution, and our only concern is to promote and protect your interests. Quite simply, if the best result for you means no deal for us, we will immediately tell you. Selling but concerned about tax consequences? As a CPA, I can advise you of the implications of any capital gain. Seeking income-producing property? With a Stanford engineering degree, I have developed cash flow analysis to evaluate various opportunities. If you're buying a home, my promise is to help you find your dream house under the most favorable terms. We at Pruneta Real Estate Advisors are dedicated to our community. We will contribute $250 out of every local transaction to the school of your choice. I am Laura Pruneta of Pruneta Real Estate Advisors. Call me at 753-5310. That's 753-5310. Stop by 1271 North Davis Road in Salinas, across from Applebee's, or browse to PrunetaRealEstate.com.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Childhood Matters.
the show for parents and everyone who cares about our kids.
For Thanksgiving weekend, we'll focus on the gift of adoption. I'm Nurse Rona, and I hope you'll join me and my guest, Mickey Duxbury, author of Making Room in Our Hearts, Keeping Family Ties Through Open Adoption. We'll explore the different ways to meet the lifelong needs of adopted children and their families.
Childhood Matters, this Sunday morning at 9 on KRXA 540.
God listens to Billy Sunshine. Maybe you should, too. Sundays, 3 to 5, on KRXA, 540 AM, The Billy Sunshine Show with Pilar. Coming soon.
You see, we're on a mission from God.
And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on Thanksgiving Eve. We're taking your phone calls here in the free speech zone, and you can tell me who you're grateful to, publicly or privately. I mean, maybe your boss gave you a fabulous raise. Or maybe you used to work for Congressman Jerry Lewis, and you flipped to becoming a lobbyist and made $2 million last year. Lines are open for you at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. And I've got a couple more copies of the Roy Zimmerman CD to give away to some grateful callers. So get on the line now, and we'll talk to you shortly here. Again, 888-5-PETER-B is my toll-free number. And we never know when a panic attack will hit. Tommy Panic is our low-budget, in-depth, undercover investigative reporter, and it's been a couple of weeks. We last heard from him in Paraguay, where he was investigating the Bush property purchase there. And Tommy Panic, I understand that you're spending my money in Argentina today?
Yeah, I am, Peter. I of course, always spanning the globe to bring you the stories the networks aren't even capable of covering.
Right.
You know, this was the day the president pardoned to Turkey. And, yeah, I'm back in South America. I had returned to the States after the Paraguay story, worked my way undercover onto the crew that would be doing the OJ interview.
I see.
I was slated to serve as the sound guy and hold the boom mic, but we know what happened with that. Apparently, though, Fox considering similar what-if projects with Scott Peterson and John Mark Carr.
Oh, I can't wait.
Yeah, so stay tuned for that. But,
well, it's a whole new genre now, the hypothetical confessional.
Exactly. But as you know, I'm on the no-fly list, so I have to resort to unorthodox means of travel. I used a delivery service, three letters, brown trucks, to get myself from Paraguay to L.A. back down to Buenos Aires, where this is interesting. I'm covering what is shaping up to be one of the greatest assemblages, is that even a word, of military technology. And I'm not talking about any sort of military coup or the installation of a puppet regime, but what I'm talking about down here is the snatching of first daughter Barbara Bush's purse. You ever think she gets pissed that Jenna got the cool name? But we found out she was in town scouting out other possible escape destinations for Dad in case Paraguay doesn't work out. But I stand in the San Telmo section of Buenos Aires just outside the Outback Steakhouse, where the first daughter quite enjoys dining. But stolen from Barbara, the diamond-encrusted BlackBerry created by the same artist who did Paris Hilton's.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And a purse from Louis Vuitton. The story, though, is the length we, when I say we, I'm talking about the good old U.S. of A., plan on going to retrieve the purse and punish the snatcher.
Yeah.
Here's the story, Peter. En route right now, chemical weapons, incendiary devices, there will be infantry support. Biological weapons are en route, just an option.
Now, do we have any fresh trainees, Argentinians, from the School of the Americas at Fort Benning, Georgia?
Well, I'm getting to that. We actually, no. We're going for the best and the brightest. We don't want someone just out of school. We want a seasoned professional. So right now, as we speak, 10,000 troops are being diverted from Iraq to Argentina, trained in the most robust methods of interrogation. So they will be unleashed upon the unsuspecting Argentine public. They're going to be using a cutting-edge truth serum, which one day may be used on the likes of us, Peter. Also, there'll be railway weaponry, anti-aircraft armaments, a B-1 Lancer. There's going to be magnetic weaponry never before used, reportedly, according to a general I spoke to. This stuff could have ended the fun in Iraq a year or so ago, but who wants that, right?
Wow.
In any event, the Louis and the diamond-encrusted BlackBerry will be found because, after all, they were paid for by U.S. tax dollars. So, Peter, I have a delivery package to assemble, and I've got to get myself into that thing. But happy Thanksgiving from Argentina.
Thank you, Tommy Panic, for an excellent report. Believe it or don't, that's Tommy Panic. Wow, he's got to get himself shipped back to the U.S., and I hope he makes it in time for Turkey tomorrow. Line 2 is next, and we go to Rich in Scotts Plains, New Jersey. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, thanks, Peter. I know you don't like to be thanked, but anyway.
Well, you can thank me except for taking your call.
Okay. Happy Thanksgiving, Peter.
Thank you.
And I want to tell you, I'm grateful for a lot of things, but the one I do want to talk about now, and I did mention to your screener, being that today is November 22nd, it's the 43rd anniversary of the death of JFK,
mm-hmm.
and I'm thankful for the legacy of heroism and service to our nation that he left us, so far removed from the petty, crass, cowardly legacy that this current Bush administration is going to leave in its wake. We've totally stood, 43 years later, we have totally stood what JFK said on his head with the current culture we're in. It's not about asking not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. Now it's, what can I get out of my country and screw everybody?
Yeah.
That's what it's become. And I'm so grateful that I grew up to know about JFK and his brother and Martin Luther King and all these great American heroes that inspire people today about the true meaning of heroism, patriotism, and freedom in America. The neocons and the people who have run this country for the last 6 years have nearly destroyed the American spirit. But on this day, I feel grateful and happy and melancholy about remembering the legacy of a great president who was cut down, and he was cut down, let's make no mistake about this, Peter, the real reason why he was cut down was he was going to extricate us from the Vietnam War before we got into it. And people will never really truly accept that unless they've been paying attention, like I know you have and many of your progressive audience.
Let me ask you this. Are you going to go see the Robert F. Kennedy movie?
I plan to, Peter. I mm-hmm. definitely plan to.
Well, give me a review after you've seen it, because I don't want to go see it if it's trash.
I most certainly will, Peter. I will definitely call you back and give you a review, and I hope it will be not trash.
All right, Rich. Have a great Thanksgiving.
You too.
I appreciate
Bye-bye.
The call. Let's see. Line 3 is next, and I believe this is Kathy in Shreveport, Louisiana.
Hello, Peter.
Hello, Kathy. Welcome.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Well, thank you very much. Can I send you a Roy Zimmerman CD?
Can you please send me a Roy Zimmerman CD?
I'd be delighted to.
I really enjoy listening to it.
He's got a lot of great tunes on it. We've played many of them, but not all of them yet.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So when we're finished, you hang on the line, and Matt will get your address, and we'll have a postal representative deliver it to you maybe in a week or two.
Oh, wonderful. And I wanted to say I'm thankful that W is going to be moving down to Nazi Never Never Land.
Beyond the extradition of the U.S. justice system?
Yeah, it's the only country that will turn their backs on us on that.
Well, you know, they consider a scenario down the line where maybe a Democratic president could name him an unlawful enemy combatant and we could have him live out his retirement at Gitmo.
That would be wonderful.
And let him just, repeat habeas, habeas, habeas corpus. Why did I eliminate habeas corpus?
You're wicked.
All right, anything you want to add, Kathy?
No, thank you.
All right, you hold on here. Matt will get your address, and we'll send that out to you. Now to line 4, it's Scott in Phoenix. Hello, Scott. Peter B.
Hello, Peter B. Thankful for a lot of things. Thankful for your show. I appreciate all the things that you get into on your show. First time I've called in.
Well, and I'm thankful for a great audience in Phoenix. You people are smart, and you respond, and it's a thrill for me.
Well, thank you. I calling relevant to yesterday. Right at the end of the show, you had a rather strident caller who was trying to debunk all the doubters on 9/11.
Yeah, and he told me I'm brain dead for asking these questions.
Mm-hmm.
And, but well, he is not sufficiently curious to even sit still for a 60 or 90 minute DVD. I offered him a free copy of 9/11 Press for Truth, and I promised him it won't discuss forensics or demolition. It's about the failure of the 9/11 Commission. But he's not open-minded enough to look at that. He prefers to cast aspersions in my direction.
Right. And one of the things he was doing, which is a prime target for those who attack the doubters of the 9/11 official story, is to go into that whole question about what hit the Pentagon, which is certainly hotly debated.
And a great listener responded to that by sending me a link to some interesting photographs from the scene at the Pentagon after the incident there. And there is one new photograph included in this set which showed the murky outline of the fuselage of an airliner next to the exterior of the Pentagon. And I have to again say that this is not the least bit conclusive. And if that picture is available, why aren't there other better resolution photographs that would put to rest any doubts that we have about exactly what it was that hit the Pentagon?
Well, exactly.
Why are they afraid to share the truth with us? That's the question I pose.
Well, really, and the fact is, too, with respect to that caller, you don't have to prove what hit the Pentagon or not. It's for him to show why the official story should be believed. And for that matter, for me, the demolition of the Twin Towers and so on is a no-brainer. It's for someone who will actually look at it and not be stymied by saying, oh, that's too technical.
Mm-hmm.
There were pieces of steel as big as an airliner lodged in buildings next to the Twin Towers, and that kind of force can only be created by tremendous explosives, plus the buildings were completely turned to dust before they even hit the ground. Yet a lot of people get stymied and won't look at that fact that it could not possibly have been a fire-related destruction that had to be.
Right.
That, you
know. Well, and then there is the obvious cover-up of the risk to the rescue workers and others who returned to the scene shortly after 9/11. The PBS NewsHour did an extensive story last night about the medical problems that first responders and others are having. They're very severe, and these individuals were exposed to toxic elements in the air and in the residues there. And I can understand that some people went into harm's way to try to rescue others. But there were people who were told by Christine Todd Whitman, the head of the EPA, that it was safe at Ground Zero when it clearly was not. And that's just another example of what appears to be pathological lying, because, you know, it was reasonable to expect that after those buildings came down, however it happened, and with the inclusion of thousands of gallons of kerosene-based jet fuel, that this was a very toxic environment. And for them to tell all the people of New York, you got nothing to worry about, is just another example of the arrogance and what can only be described as misplaced priorities. They were more interested in tricking people into, you know, going back to Ground Zero than protecting their safety.
Exactly. Yes. Yes. Stephen Jones, the physicist, is quite hot about that. He considered that to be a malicious deception.
I agree. It's callous, and, you know, whether it rises to the level of negligence or even to a higher level of a kind of active involvement is an open question. But again, we deserve the answer to that question.
Exactly.
Thanks a lot for your call.
Thank you, sir.
Nice to talk with you. Next we go to line 5. It's Vince in Annapolis, Maryland. Hello, Vince. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi. How are you?
Good, thanks.
I just wanted to send out my thanks to Senator George Allen from Virginia, whose racist attitudes helped win the Senate back for the Democrats.
Well, and aren't you just grateful for YouTube?
Oh, yes.
George Allen, the first big political star of YouTube. And I'm sure he's at home right now looking at other YouTube pictures. Thanks for the call from Annapolis.
Sure.
Great to hear from you. More of your calls coming up next. If you want to grab a line, I've got one more CD to give away to a caller in the next segment. 888-5-PETER-B, the toll-free number. That's 888-573-8255. 8372. You can drop me an email, peter at peterbcollins.com. KRXA 540, progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat the path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Tired of that dreaded drive into town for fresh quality produce? The Produce Barn in Carmel Valley Village has the perfect solution to your problem. Owners Ed Drobnik and Don Beike have over 50 years of combined experience in the produce business and are passing the substantial savings on to their customers. The Produce Barn offers a wide selection of conventional and certified organic seasonal fresh fruits and vegetables. We also carry a fine selection of specialty candies and snacks, exquisite gourmet gift items, and feature Freedom Meats, savory sausages, bacon, and marinated fresh meats. Heck, we even throw in free recipes. So, whether you're a restaurant, lodge, home chef, or treasured village visitor, stop by the Produce Barn at 13750A Center Street in the Center Street Plaza, behind Wells Fargo, and right next to the Chatterbox. We're open 7 days a week.
The Produce Barn in Carmel Valley Village, 659-5916. That's 659-5916. The Produce Barn.
And it's your Monterey Bay going home. Thanksgiving Eve traffic. Looks like we have an accident in Gilroy, Highway 152 at San Felipe Road. This accident is on the right-hand shoulder, and two cars are involved. An injury accident in Soledad, northbound 101, after the Soledad State Prison. Three cars, they are blocking lanes, and emergency crews are en route. King City, there is an accident northbound 101 after Canal Street. There's five cars blocking lanes. CHP is on the way. Have some road construction. Salinas Sanborn Road between Abbott Street and Highway 101. It is closed for round-the-clock road work. Westbound traffic is using the eastbound lane. Eastbound lane traffic is being detoured off to Abbott. During the new Face of the Audi year-end sales event, get exceptional values on the 2007 A4 2.03. See your Bay Area Audi dealer or log on to BayAreaAudiDealers.com. Michael Kidd for traffic.
Show continues here on the evening before Thanksgiving.
There's this great Popeye cartoon where he gets inside a Bluto shirt. He's popping out of his sleeves, going, here I am, over here, you. And Bluto is confused. He's going,
hey, where'd you, why you,
And he's trying to beat up Popeye, and he ends up pummeling himself. And that is the war on terror. That is the war on terror. The war on terror. There's this old joke where a guy is walking home late at night. He sees another guy under a streetlight, searching frantically in the gutter. He says, hey man, what did you lose? The guy says, I dropped my keys about six blocks away. Why aren't you looking over there? Guy says the light's better over here. And that is the war on terror. That
Just another tune from Roy Zimmerman's CD called Faulty Intelligence. I got one more to give away, but you got to get on the line in the next few minutes. 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. And tomorrow on Thanksgiving, as we give you some pre-recorded programming, we'll include the hour we spent with Roy Zimmerman. A lot of fun, a lot of tunes there, and I hope you'll enjoy it. Also tomorrow, in our final hour, right about this time, we're going to be playing for you the unedited original version of Arlo Guthrie's Alice's Restaurant with 27 8x10 color glossy photos and pictures and errors. You remember that? Well, that'll be on the air tomorrow, and I hope you tune in and enjoy it. We also have some repeats for you on Friday, and then we'll be back with our regular fresh live lineup on Monday. I hope you enjoy a nice long weekend. I'm certainly looking forward to it. Chris and Salinas, you're on the air.
How you doing, Peter?
I'm doing pretty doggone good, thank you.
Happy pre-Thanksgiving.
Well, same to you. What's your favorite kind of dressing?
I just like gravy, lots of gravy and stuffing.
Yeah, well, my sister-in-law, Madeline, is making Thanksgiving dinner for us tomorrow, and she makes the best oyster dressing that I've ever had. And it's a highlight for me. I'm really looking forward to it. In fact, I think I'll fast. Well, no. Was a nice idea.
Well, don't eat too much.
I'll agree.
We need you back on Monday.
Okay, that's a deal. What would you like to add here?
Well, I just wanted to bring up the fact that, why is Nancy Pelosi going to still hold out the olive branch to the GOP when they're dumping all this funding onto the Democrats next year? You know, they're not passing any of the spending bills.
Right.
And they're just thumbing their nose at them, saying, ha-ha, too bad.
Actually, on that particular score, I'm not as concerned, because the Democratic majority will have an opportunity to shape those spending bills, try to reduce the deficit, try to avoid cuts to progressive or social programs, might even find the money to reinstate the college loan programs that were cut last year by the Republicans. So that's, it certainly is going to muck with their agenda.
Well,
because they were hoping to hit the ground running with the minimum wage increase and the other five items in their 100-hour agenda. But my feeling is that they can do both, because Pelosi's actually planning to go into a little overtime. The swearing-in will be around January 4th, and typically Congress then goes home and they don't return until the State of the Union message. But the Democrats are actually planning to hold sessions starting on the 4th or 5th of January, including the proposed minimum wage increase. So I think that'll be interesting, but what I'm more concerned about is the conciliatory tone that the Democrats have set, and I want to see him fight over the Gates nomination, even push that into the new Democratic-controlled Senate. I also don't want to see them act on the president's wiretapping bill to legalize the NSA program that clearly has been illegal.
Yes, definitely.
So we're going to see how it sorts out. Let's give them a little bit of breathing room here until Pelosi actually is the speaker. But in general, I agree with you. We're going to have to remain active and vigilant to make sure that our agenda is acted upon.
Have you seen the $4 million check that Fabian Nunes got from the AT&T and Verizon sponsoring? They sponsored a $1.7 million fundraiser for the California Democratic Party. And Nunes walked away with $4 million, and he's the one that pushed that video.
Right,
bill.
It's the bill that goes statewide.
I just sent an email on it.
Yeah, it goes statewide and essentially guts the county and local contracts with cable companies. I'm very opposed to it, and I'm disappointed to see that he took the money. Not surprised that it was offered. Thank you, Chris. Now we go to Frank and Marina. Hello, Frank. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, Peter B. How you doing?
Doing great.
I'm thankful for all the hard work that all progressives and all liberals in the United States and throughout the world have been doing these last few years, and especially for the election.
Yeah.
Just recently. But the Democrats have to be accountable to us.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got to stop this illegal war. That's first.
Yes, it is.
You're talking about people dying every day and being maimed,
mm-hmm,
on both sides.
Yeah.
And we have to get back to the original Constitution and the Bill of Rights and start abolishing all these things that's been, you know, going back to the Patriot Act in 2001.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty readily available. I don't know. They had it written up pretty quick after 9/11.
Yeah, indeed. You have an idea it was written beforehand. Hey, Frank, I appreciate the call, and I'm going to send you a Roy Zimmerman CD. So hold on here. Matt will get your address, and we'll mail it out to you. Have a great Thanksgiving.
You too, Peter.
All right. Thank you very much. And now Dan's on the line from Mill Valley. Hello, Dan.
Hey, Peter. Boy, that oyster dressing sounds awfully tasty, and just made me salivate for you to bring that up. But
this is my brother, Dan, from Chicago, who's visiting for the holidays.
But we are thankful to have Barack Obama representing us in Illinois, and he's been making a big difference. He gave a very important speech on a Iraq plan that is the first one to make sense in a while. So
yes,
that's what we're giving thanks for.
He did, indeed. And it's fascinating to see his ascendance here. And I'm very interested because I don't support Hillary Rodham Clinton. And Barack Obama is offering a very interesting alternative. There are a lot of other factors we're going to have to sort through between now and 08.
But don't lose track of our senior senator, Dick Durbin. He's a very major force as number two in the Senate.
I was hoping, actually, that Harry Reid would bow out and let Dick Durbin lead the Democrats.
It would have been a nice touch, but Dick's right there, so.
Yes, indeed.
But thanks for keeping the message strong, and have a great Thanksgiving.
All right, well, I'm going to see you soon. That's my brother, Dan, who we imported from Chicago for the festivities. And I want to say hi to Mary Irene and Brendan and Aubrey and Margo. I'll be seeing you shortly.
Happy trails to you.
This is Peter B. Tune in tomorrow for our Thanksgiving special, pre-recorded for my convenience. You'll hear Alice's Restaurant. You'll hear our hour with Roy Zimmerman, so it'll be fun, light, and lively. And best of again on Friday. And join us again here Monday for another edition of the Peter B. Collins Show.
And bring the sunny weather. Happy trails to you.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian,
line, getting impatient with things, particularly with leisure travelers ahead of them who don't know what they're doing. But everybody has been calm, polite. The lines have been moving right along all day today.
But on this day before Thanksgiving, a special homecoming in Dallas. KRLD Radio's BJ Austin has that story.
About 100 troops from Iraq are home for Thanksgiving and 2 weeks of R&R, arriving to a big welcome at DFW Airport. Private Alex Martinez of California can't believe his good fortune.
I got lucky, I'm glad, I'm happy, and I get to be here on my birthday, too.
Major Harlan Garrett of San Antonio can't believe the big welcome.
Before Thanksgiving, a special homecoming in Dallas. KRLD Radio's BJ Austin has that story.
About 100 troops from Iraq are home for Thanksgiving and 2 weeks of R&R, arriving to a big welcome at DFW Airport. Private Alex Martinez of California can't believe his good fortune.
I got lucky, I'm glad, I'm happy, and I get to be here on my birthday, too.
Major Harlan Garrett of San Antonio can't believe the big welcome, including a chorus line of New York City Rockettes on the tarmac greeting the plane.
I just wish my dad, who was in Vietnam, would have been able to get the same type of reception when he came through the San Francisco terminal.
BJ Austin, CBS News, Dallas.
The Bush administration seems to be mounting a diplomatic offensive in the Middle East. The president travels to Jordan next week for talks with Iraqi Prime Minister Maliki. And it was announced today that Vice President Cheney will go to Saudi Arabia on Friday. He's expected to ask King Abdullah for more help in stabilizing Iraq. The sectarian violence in Iraq claimed dozens more lives today. And a UN report says October was the deadliest month yet, with more than 3,700 civilians killed.
These figures, compiled with the help of the Iraqi health authorities, do give some idea of the overall scale and shape of the violence. 110 children were killed in the past 2 months, and 351 women. Women also, according to this report, are being singled out for abuse by religious extremists. Most of the men murdered have been victims of sectarian crimes, the majority shot and many tortured. Over two-thirds were killed in Baghdad, the place the U.S. military is now concentrating most of its troops.
CBS News correspondent Elizabeth Palmer in Baghdad. Tea time in orbit.